gentlemen. It is Monday, July 21st, 2025. This is the InfoWars War Room. The fastest 3 hours on the internet starts now. Put the old crew cam back up there. Put yourself back up. We're really short-staffed today. I just want to give a big love to the crew that's here. See that one man right there? He's running that whole operating system. That is madness. Tip of the cap, sir. Well done. And he's also bringing me all my news and everything, so I got a stack right here I still need to go through. But here's what we have on the desk. A little bit of a geopolitical stack here, not too much. And then, really, the big stack is not even necessarily a stack of news. It's just a stack, a proof of this inflection point where, call it MAGA or the Trump presidency, however you want to put it, it's this major inflection point where we've gone through, let's say, some rough spots politically in this administration in the last month or so. From the Iran strikes to the Musk fallout to the big beautiful bill issues to most recently with the Epstein files debacle. And so we're kind of at this point now where they're throwing a bunch of red meat out there saying, oh, we'll get prosecutions of Obama. We'll get prosecutions of the deep state. Hey, we'll change the name of the commanders. Hey, 6 months of winning. And so now it's like, okay, is the Trump base that's been there since 2016, is the original MAGA that's been there since 2016, are they going to remain stubborn and say, wait a second, this is not what we voted for? Or are they just going to cave and say, okay, fine, we'll go along with this. We'll say everything's great. Everything's fantastic. Whether you deliver prosecutions or not, we don't care. Just pretend like you will. Just share a video of Obama getting arrested and we'll celebrate and we'll get back on and we'll pick up the pom-poms. And so that's kind of what they're expecting. I don't think that's going to work. And the odd thing for me is we already did this. We already did this in the first Trump administration. So I'm not going to do it again. But that's kind of, it's not like a stack of news. It's just all these different developments where you see the reshaping of the political alignment and the reshaping of the political media happening so fast. And it's just like, yeah, okay, well, here's the people that are going to wave the pom-poms. Here's the people that are actually expecting results on what they voted for. We're going to try to just cut through all of that and cover the news, which there are a lot of political developments today. The Republicans are about to lose a seat in the House, at least momentarily, as one Republican is resigning. And then we're going to have some special guests on dealing with what's going on in the beef industry. There are some news developments on that today. And then President Trump calling Adam Schiff a thief over the weekend and then sharing a legal document. We're going to be joined by an individual who has been really following the Adam Schiff story from the ground level, and she'll be able to give us an update on all of that. So that's what's going on. But, you know, it's not that I'm ready to drop the Epstein issue. It's just when it's in the news, I'll cover it. We've already explained why it's important. But see, with these latest developments now, and oh, we're going to go after the Obama administration for crimes. That story in the Wall Street Journal last week with the little doodle from Trump. You gotta just think about things, folks. And I notice not many people are thinking. They're just consuming and reacting. We're going to make you think. We're going to make you think here today.
I have some very exciting news. Optimal Human is hands down the best green superfood, super nutrient concentrate I've ever had. The folks at Bigly have had this out for years, and it's their star product, and it became a bestseller very quickly because people, when they got it, loved it so much. If I told you everything that's in it, how concentrated it is, it would take an hour. This has the kitchen sink and then some in it. If you're missing any of the trace, not just the stuff they say is essential, but all the other trace elements and vitamins and prebiotic and probiotics, it's got everything in it. And again, these are all concentrated, and it's got a bunch of stuff for healthy energy in it too. So folks absolutely love Optimal Human, and it works synergistically with the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the Ultimate Turmeric, and the Methylene Blue. We've been sold out of this. It came in, and I finally got it a couple days ago, and man, is it awesome. It is a game changer. If you haven't gotten it, you are really missing out at thealexjonesstore.com. And so it never sells out. Be sure to become a subscriber and get special discounts when you do that.
Are coming anytime now. Watch your phone for alert messages. 2 more weeks, we're winning. That's how I feel right now. A dried up husk. A dried up MAGA husk. That's what remains. I'm like a beef jerky chew toy for a dog or something here. Well, I'm being facetious about that. We're actually feeling pretty strong, and we're winning the debate. And so that's why you have all different sides of this that we, the people, are aligned against in complete panic and damage control mode. And not that we're aligned against the White House, not that we're aligned against President Trump. We're just aligned towards the truth, towards disclosure, towards Make America Great Again and everything that entails. And so when the Trump administration is not delivering, we have an issue with that, and then they run damage control. So really it shows that we still have the power of the people, but it only means so much in today's America, the power of the people only means so much. Now, this is the new MAGA. How do you feel? Welcome to the new MAGA, because, you know, you're winning. Are you sick of winning yet? President Trump's telling you you're winning today. They're doing a whole 6-month winning tour. Do you think you're winning? The new leaders of the MAGA coalition, self-described, very evident. The new MAGA coalition is Mark Levin, Ben Shapiro, Laura Loomer, and Jonathan Greenblatt. That's right. 3 out of 4 were anti-never Trumpers. 3 out of 4 of them were anti-Trumpers and never-Trumpers. Now it's the new MAGA coalition. And it seems that the White House really is indifferent at all the people that have been thrown overboard now for these new MAGA leaders. The new rules of MAGA, these seem to be about square from my analysis. Seems that these are square. Mark Levin over Tucker Carlson. Lindsey Graham over Thomas Massie? Anything else over the Epstein files? Trust the experts instead of doing your own research? Operation Warp Speed for babies instead of Fauci trials? Big beautiful spending bill instead of Doge? Bombing Iran instead of no new wars? Bombing Gaza instead of no new wars? Funding Ukraine's war? Going to stop it in the first 28 hours? And complying over thinking. Complying over thinking. Are we missing any? Did we miss anything here, guys? I think we got it all down straight. But hey, Trump throwing red meat to the cheerleaders this weekend. This had to be the worst of them. The golden age of travel. Why is it the golden age of travel? Did we finally get rid of TSA groping you and you having to walk through an X-ray x-ray machine and your bags getting searched and zapped? Did we finally get rid of the miserable experience that is flying commercially? No. No. You're actually still in the dark age of travel. But it's the golden age of travel, according to the administration, because you get to keep your shoes on. I'm not even kidding you. And they post this 30-second, basically promotional video, calling it the golden age of travel because you get to keep your shoes on. Isn't it nice? We might still grope you a little bit. We're still going to frisk you, search your bags, treat you like a total criminal, but at least you get to keep your shoes on for now. Then somebody will sneak something on a plane through a shoe and they'll say, oopsie, we gave you too much freedom. You know, somebody will sneak something onto the plane. They'll put it in their sock, their shoe, whatever. And then they'll just, you know, you dirty Americans. That's why you can't have nice things. It's the golden age of travel. You want to know the golden age of travel? I was supposed to have some friends in town last week, and they tried to fly, but they didn't have their real world ID, and so they couldn't get on a plane. ID totally up to date, but didn't have the real ID official verification, so sorry, you can't fly. It's the golden age of travel. It's the golden age. Don't you know it? Don't you know it? But over the weekend, the Trump administration trying to give you some hope. And Pam Bondi releasing this statement early this morning saying, oh, we're going to go after the Clinton emails now. Wow. Statement from Attorney General Pamela Bondi on Senate Judiciary Committee request for information related to Clinton email investigation. Today, the Department of Justice honored Chairman Grassley's request to release information relating to former FBI Director James Comey's failed investigation into Hillary Clinton's mishandling of highly classified information during her tenure as Secretary of State. I commend Chairman Grassley for his unwavering, years-long commitment to exposing the truth and holding those who seek to conceal it accountable. This Department of Justice is fully committed to transparency. Excuse me. And will continue to support good faith efforts in Congress to ensure accountability across the federal government. Yeah. How does that one land for you? Does it have much to it? Is there much oomph there for you? Much impact there? Oh, and Tulsi Gabbard is talking about the Russian hoax and Obama Spygate and Operation Crossfire Hurricane. And everybody's saying, we're going to get arrests and we're going to get prosecutions. And, you know, I'm just sitting here saying, what does the world in front of me tell me? What does the world behind me tell me? If I'm a gambling man, what am I betting my money on? And then the other part of me is saying, no, there's still hope. There's good people in charge. We can have justice. We can get what we voted for. So then you just got to make a decision. And I'm not betting on it. I'm not betting on it. Why are we now all of a sudden hearing about Hillary Clinton's emails? Why are we now all of a sudden hearing about the Russian collusion hoax? The first Trump administration had 4 years to do something about this and didn't. So why are they doing it now? I believe they're doing it now because Trump's poll numbers are plummeting. I believe they're doing it now because the Epstein debacle is such a complete embarrassment and such a complete disaster, and you're not going to get any Epstein truth. So they're now trying to throw this out there, saying, oh, well, you know, you still care about this, though, right? Yeah, we didn't deliver first 4 years on this, but we're going to deliver now, so it's okay. You can stop talking about Epstein. We're going to go after Obama now. We're going to go after Clinton now. Start talking about that. And then you have Trump posting on his Truth Social all the Obama administration, the Obama cabinet members in orange jumpsuits, like they're going to be arrested. Folks, he did this in his first 4 years. He did this when he was campaigning. We've already seen the AI videos. He's already shared them. He's already called the, they've already said they've all committed treason. Nothing changes. And then he posts this video of Obama getting arrested on his Truth Social account. And I'm just sitting here like, you know, I'd love to see all that. I'd love to sit here and cheerlead and wave the pom-poms and tell you I believe it's going to happen or tell you I know it's happening. But I can't do that because I don't believe that and I don't know that. And I've already lived through this and here we are. And then when I look at it from the larger picture, aside from just the raw politics of it, and then just inserting your own opinion or your own coverage when you go on the air, I'm thinking to myself, I'm going back to last week and I'm thinking, well, what's really going on here? And keep in mind now, the Trump administration is, oh, we have a criminal referral that's been sent to Pam Bondi's desk. Well, does anybody know where Pam Bondi's desk is? I'm not sure Pam knows where Pam Bondi's desk is. It might have drifted into the Bermuda Triangle and now it's just gone. So another criminal referral on Pam Bondi's desk that I'm supposed to get excited about. Nobody's ever seen Pam Bondi's desk. I'm not sure Pam has ever been to Pam's desk. So just stack it on top of all the other criminal referrals that have gone there and nothing's been done. Literally nothing. Letitia James, you name it. Criminal referrals stacked on Bondi's desk. Nobody's ever seen the desk. Right next to all the Epstein files she was going to give you. So what's going on? Well, is this the Trump administration trying to throw its weight around and say, listen, and by the way, the charge is perjury. He's claiming this multi-billion dollar addition renovation to the Fed building is necessary. So then there's the debates about, oh, he's putting in a luxury hotel and like all this other crap. Who knows? It's nothing but lies comes out of Washington, D.C. Nothing but lies. So I don't trust any of it. I think they're all dirty, rotten liars. There's something about that city. Once you get into that city, you become a dirty, rotten crook. No matter who you send there. It's just, there's something there. So they're obviously using this against Powell and they're saying, hey, we sent the criminal referral to Pam Bondi's desk, as if that puts fear into any man. Nobody's shaking at the news of that. They might be shaking in laughter. Hey, we've got the criminal referral. You committed perjury. You said that all the expenses and the renovations were necessary. You committed perjury. And the criminal referral's on Pam Bondi's desk. Now, we don't want this to get nasty. You know, you can do this the easy or you can do this the hard way. Why don't you just cut rates? Just cut the rates. Criminal referral, Jerome. Criminal referral. Cut the rates. Cut the rates, Joe. Cut the rates. Clearly, that's what's going on. Now, is Powell going to blink? And, you know, they say you ask 10 expert economists their opinion on the economy, and you'll get 11 different answers. So I've seen people make the argument of why you can't increase the interest rates because of the massive debt bubble that we have right now. I've seen people arguing why we have to decrease the interest rates for the exact same reason. So it's just like, yeah, pick whatever. Whatever expert opinion you want to hear. I look at it from a reality perspective that's like plausible from an individual level that you could experience or I could experience. You talk about the debt bubble and all this other stuff. Is it all a fiat currency? It's all pumped up by the Fed. It's all fake anyway. Is it bad? Yeah, it's horrible. We're going to be $40 trillion in debt. It's a joke. audit Fort Knox. Never mind. We're going all in on crypto. Why did Trump go from saying crypto is nothing, it's worthless, it's valueless, we should get into gold, and now he's all about crypto and we're not going to pay attention to gold? There's definitely a reason for that. But getting back to the Powell situation, you know, this is how bad it is in America. And I've got some other just stuff on my desk here that looks at other economic issues and just shows you how our money has been destroyed. Since the Fed was invented, our money has been completely destroyed. And so we'll go back in time and look at some of that in perspective. But this is what it's like with the current interest rates. I purchased a home in, I guess it was about 2020. I don't remember exactly, but let's say about 2020. And my interest rate was very low. I think it might even be in the twos. Now, if I try to purchase a house, I've looked into this. If I purchase a house and I make a bigger down payment on a house that's $70,000 less because of the interest rates, I will have a higher monthly mortgage payment. That's obscene. So what these interest rates are doing is they're keeping people out of the asset column. They're making it so that you can't afford a house or a car. But if you do decide that you're going to buy that, you're going to be crushed by the interest rates. And so that turns most people off. So it's just turning us into this renter's economy where you just can't even own anything, because you look at the bottom line and you say the monthly payment on this vehicle, the monthly payment on this house, I can't afford it because of the interest rates, so I'm just going to rent. You'll see even how maddening it all is when I get into this other stuff, just looking at what the worth of the dollar used to be compared to what it is now. But I know I'm not the only one. I talk to other people they've done the same thing, and they're just looking at it. They're like, yeah, we wanted to move, but with these interest rates, just can't right now. Why would we? You're getting crushed by these interest rates. They are crushing you. So Trump is just begging Powell. And I think Trump's already waved the white flag when it comes to the debt and everything else. I think that's pretty clear. I think he's just decided that the debt's fake, the money's fake, so whatever. Just give the American people as much as we can right now, and then maybe they'll make smart decisions in crypto or something else. And Powell's just like, well, probably the entire banking system is going to collapse at this rate, so we have to have the interest rates this high. And Trump is saying, nobody can afford to buy anything. I can't get the economy going. I can't get Americans' confidence and morale positive in the economy with these interest rates. And Powell's like, you understand we're going to crash the whole banking system? So it's really just a complete and utter disaster. Now, there's no doubt when Powell is out, I'm sure the next person will lower interest rates at Trump's behest. But that's the game he's playing. And so it's all a game of blackmail in Washington, D.C. That's what you really have going on. This is the age of blackmail. Hey, we're going to hit you with criminal charges if you don't cut the interest rates. So I go back to the big blackmail. The big blackmail scandal, allegedly. Jeffrey Epstein. Now, if you've been paying attention, there's been all sorts of little droppings now trying to attach Trump to Epstein. And I would look at it from this perspective. Because if it can't be applied universally, it's not logic, it's propaganda. So now I'm supposed to believe that all of the files relating to Spygate and the Russian collusion hoax was all preserved perfectly. And when the Biden administration was in there for 4 years, nothing was done to those. Nothing. But the Epstein files, those have been doctored, those have been manipulated, those have been manufactured, but not the Biden administration that was literally tied to the Spygate Russian collusion hoax. They didn't do anything about that. They left all that sitting there, but the Epstein stuff, they put some fake things in there. Now, go back to that little doodle and that little note that Trump allegedly wrote to Epstein they published in the Wall Street Journal last week. Do you really think that is from the quote-unquote Epstein files? Do you really think that that was sitting somewhere in D.C. or somewhere in New York and not a single Democrat decided to publish it when Trump was running in 2024 or earlier? You don't really believe that now, do you? So you have to ask, where did the Wall Street Journal get it? And I'm not going to go all in on this stuff today, but there's some new drippings out there about Trump and Epstein. And again, I don't care if Trump's hanging around and, you know, getting cozy with 20-year-old girls when he's 40 and 50, whatever. I don't care. But see, somebody gave that little note and that little illustration to the Wall Street Journal. Somebody that they believe is credible enough, reliable enough, that they published it despite facing now a multi-billion dollar lawsuit. So who was it? Where did it come from? I bet you it came from Tel Aviv. And I bet you there's more there. And this is the whole blackmail operation that is now running Washington, D.C. So Trump is blackmailing all of his political enemies in America right now. Oh, we're going to criminal charges for Obama, criminal charges for the Obama cabinet, criminal charges for Jerome Powell. So that's Trump blackmailing all of them. But then on the back end, Trump is dealing with all of this stuff out of Israel. And it's, you know, it's mostly just mundane stuff. I mean, it looks bad because you're with Epstein. But, okay, a letter with weird words and an illustration and him hanging out with a bunch of 20-year-olds and him going to beauty pageants and, you know, going into the female locker rooms. It's like they're all 18. They're not minors. He's not going to the island. But it's embarrassing. It's a bad look. He doesn't want to deal with it. So he's asking you just call off the dogs. But when Trump went after South Africa, what was the timing of that? South Africa comes out and says Netanyahu's committing a genocide. The next week, Trump comes out against South Africa. Brazil's president comes out against Netanyahu saying they're committing a genocide. The next week, Trump goes after Brazil. So, do I have to spell it out for you? Do I have to spell it out for you? You've got your clear, new MAGA coalition, who is never MAGA. And then you've got, it's the age of blackmail more than ever, I think. At least it's obvious for the public to see in Washington, D.C.
Fox News alert, the Ayatollah's gone into hiding. He's believed to be holed up inside an underground bunker northeast of the Capitol. Iranian proxies, which have been severely degraded, are threatening to commit acts of terror against American troops and American ships in the region.
And sources are telling ABC News that President Trump has approved the attack plans for Iran that were presented to him.
And American businesses are now bracing for cyber attacks. The whole world's watching.
In light of that news, I have a message directly from the president, and I quote, based on the fact that there's a substantial chance of negotiations that may or may not take place with Iran in the near future, I will make my decision whether or not to go within the next 2 weeks. That's a quote directly from the president for all of you today.
What's your take on that? Because that people say, well, that's just the press secretary. No, that's Trump talking. Now it looks like he's given himself more breathing room 2 weeks when we were coming down to the deadline, and the last deadline passed, obviously, and within 24 hours, Israel struck.
Trump is speaking through her, right? Those are his words. And he's waiting because you put U.S. bombers over there with bunker buster bombs. It embroils America into something that could last a decade. Right? He knows the implications of this, and you don't want to overreact. You don't want to actually do something that might not need to be done if you can avoid it with some kind of negotiations, which Trump is the master negotiator, right? So you've got Iran, you've got Trump, and you've got Netanyahu, right? So two of those are really going at it. What Trump is saying, I believe, in that message is, I don't want to embroil America in a war for the next decade plus.
And that's what he's been saying the last 48 hours, or really 24, is, I only want to do this if it doesn't turn into a long war. Now he's learning it will. And so sanity is prevailing, hopefully. And, wow, that's so important. We're out of time, Dr. Elliott. People need to call and get a free consultation or go sign on the email. You guys are the best. You have the best prices, selling it at wholesale. That's why you're top rated. Most other places are a scam. It's just true. Gold and silver is great, but not the way people sell numismatics and collectibles. It's a scam, folks. It goes from bad to worse. You're the place to go to. You can also roll over financial instruments. It's so easy, but people need to go to kepm.com/gold, 720-605-3900. And folks really need to take action now.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Not all dealers are created equal. Not all brokers are created equal. When our biggest thing that we do for people is, I believe it's your money. This is why we charge zero when you liquidate. Zero. I want you to get everything that you invested in. Gold and silver do really well in these times of things. You can move over your IRA, your old 401ks, cash assets to get out of harm's way, get out of the path of this hurricane to safe ground. Don't overpay for your stuff. I'm telling you, do not overpay for your stuff when you don't need to. Always buy bullion. And do it with somebody who doesn't charge you when you liquidate.
Oh, I forgot that part. You're the only big company that does that. That is massive. No charge on liquidation. Massive. And again, ladies and gentlemen, you can look at the wholesale price every day of silver and gold. When you buy it, you know. These other places, I'm sorry, there's 90% of them go from scams to absolutely criminal, in my view. That's why we don't have gold sponsors and stuff, because there's so few that are good. Plus, I got out of it 14 years ago, right at the top, told everybody, nope, now's not the time. And then 2 years ago was the time. We've been proven right. Only exploded. The best investment there is. All I'm going to do is steer you right, folks, because I treat you like I want to be treated on the supplements, on the products, on the sponsors. Only the best. And that's Kirk Elliott, Precious Metals, KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3900. Call now for your free consultation.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Elon and Big Balls walking into D.C., laughing back and forth at the waist on display. Cut this, trimming that, and having such a good time. Oodle-laddy, oodle-laddy, golly, what a day. Protesting, they were just looking to cut the fat. Next thing they knew, the scumbags were a hollering, the loudest of them being Democrat. Elon and the Doge team sending out some emails asking folks what they did for America today. Government employees having public meltdowns. Oodle-laddy, oodle-laddy, golly, what a day.
Well, a blast from the past there. That was a month in to this administration, 1 month in. How does that feel today? We still getting that? You could do a remake to that. Maybe we should do a remake to that with what's happening now. Oh, bombing Iran. Oh, more foreign aid for Ukraine, more foreign aid for Israel. Telling people to shut up about Epstein. Yeah. Oh, what a day. What a day. Different time. That was just 5 short months ago, and it's just like a totally different world now. But hey, we got Trump. He's pimping Mark Levin hard over the weekend. He says, watch Mark Levin on Fox News now. Now, he says, tune in now. Watch Mark Levin, because Mark Levin fought so hard for you, President Trump. Mark Levin fought so hard for you in 2016. Mark Levin fought so hard after they stole your election in 2020 over there at Fox News and then kicked the people out that were calling it out. Yeah. So you're going to pimp his show. I wonder why, though. Why would Trump be doing that? Let's see here. Here's what he had to say last night in clip 13.
Cycle. We have a lot to run on, and you have a lot to run against, given the other party. But I will tell you this. We better be united. We better be strong. We better be focused. We better be articulate. We can't waste our time on Epstein and other stuff that are going on here that some people want us to focus on. I've about had it with all that stuff.
Mm.
We better focus on who we are, what we're doing, where we want to take the country, and what they want to do to the country. Mr. Speaker, God bless you, my friend. I appreciate you very, very much.
Yeah.
You too, Mark. Thanks
for
all you
do. We got it. We got it loud and clear. Hey, Trump, why don't you promote my show tonight? Nobody's tuning in. I have no ratings. But just tell him to tune in. I'll tell him to stop talking about Epstein. What do you think? Come on, Donald. Pit my show.
Sure, Mark. Sounds great. Just tell him to shut up about that Epstein guy. I'm sick of hearing about it, okay? Got other issues, don't you know? We got to support Israel. We got to support Ukraine. Can't be talking about Epstein. Thank you very much, Mark. Go ahead and I'll pimp your show. Just make sure you tell him. We don't want to hear about it anymore. Don't hear about Epstein. Thank you. Thank you, Mark.
Oh, and he did such a good job now. There's a follow-up promo. Go get the great new book by Mark Levin. It's entitled On Power, and it's the talk of the town. Read it, digest it, and enjoy it. He's truly one of a kind, Donald J. Trump. Wow. The talk of the town? What town? I don't know anybody talking about Mark Levin's new book. Anybody ever heard of that? What a joke. Oh, Levin is one of a kind. Do you see what's happened here, folks? Again, I'm just kind of reflecting on all of it over the weekend, and then it's like, well, how am I going to approach all of this today? Do you see what's happened here? In fact, I think if you just focus on one aspect and then try to draw a larger conclusion, which is not really a responsible thing to do normally, but just look at how Elon Musk has been run out of the White House and how Mark Levin has now been brought in, I guess, as a top consultant. I mean, he's clearly got direct access to Trump whenever he wants, so much so he can make a call and get his TV show and his book promoted. By the way, two completely worthless things. Mark Levin's Sunday night TV show is worthless. And Mark Levin's book, Nobody's Ever Heard Of, is worthless. And here's Trump out here using the power of his pulpit of Truth Social to promote Mark Levin. Now, I can sit here and take issue with some of the tech and some of the things Elon Musk is doing. But it's like, okay, who's really one of a kind? Another fat slob in media, another Israeli stooge like Mark Levin, who's made millions of dollars, who's made himself fabulously rich, grifting off the conservative movement, and then goes back to Israel for his holidays, for his real homeland that he's truly loyal to. Who's really one of a kind? The total sellout Mark Levin or Elon Musk, who's making self-driving cars, rockets that land themselves, robots that are about to be able to basically do every task on Earth, Neuralink, which might be able to make the blind see and the paralyzed walk. Who's really one of a kind? Mark Levin, the sellout for Israel, or Elon Musk changing the world with his inventions? One has been put out, and the other has been put in. And when you understand that, you understand how this thing has gone completely sideways. And I think that if there's a culprit, if there's a main culprit, it's got to be Susan Wiles. And if you just look at the developments from last week, and I just kind of, you know, sometimes I'm a sounding board and then sometimes I'm a sound off board. So I told her at the beginning of last week, all right, people have identified Susie Wiles. You got problems with the administration? Start talking about Susie Wiles. And then what did you see all week? People started talking about Susie Wiles. They started to hear about her connection to Israel and the Likud and Netanyahu. So she's basically Netanyahu's full access to the White House. Full control of the White House is run by Susie Wiles. And for whatever reason, they wanted Musk out. I think I got a pretty good idea here. And so then, after everybody's talking about Susie Wiles last week, because people in D.C. see how everything's gone sideways now, and everybody's seeing it, so they're like, hey, start talking about Wiles. Then what do you see on Friday? Two puff pieces telling you how great Susie Wiles is. Yep. So Musk is out. But see, Trump's instincts were right. And that's the problem. Trump's instincts are usually really good, like 99% successful. But then he gets all these other people in there manipulating him, confusing him, throwing him off the real scent. And then he ends up taking bad advice or getting bad intelligence and then doing something that pisses his base off instead of just going with his instincts. When he brought Musk in and he said, this is a one of a kind, this guy's a genius. That was his instincts. That was the right move. And then everything he was doing with Doge, but notice Doge is nothing now. Oh, we got $9 billion in cuts. That's like 1% of what we need. And it's like, okay, we defunded NPR, we defunded PBS. That's great. I celebrate that. We shut down USAID, but now they just send the funding out through these bills. So it's still the same gravy train, just different means and mechanisms, and then they cover it up. And say, it's just the big, beautiful bill. It's great. Oh, no, another $500 million for Israel. Oh, no, another $500 million for Ukraine. Oh, no, another $500 million for this foreign country, that foreign country. So it's the same boondoggle going on. Same boondoggle going on. But so what is the story behind the scenes? And I think this other story gives us a better idea. Pete Hegseth abandoned by aides as Pentagon left in turmoil. Pete Hegseth has lost six of his senior aides in as many months, with the defense secretary's struggle to retain key staff, leaving the Pentagon in limbo. Now, we had a former Pentagon staffer on last week that was talking about the turmoil. Folks, here's what's going on. And now, it's like, if you're Bongino and you're Hegseth, it's a lot easier for Hegseth than Bongino. But you're just men on an island at this point. You're just men lost like a child on an island. No pun intended. All the anti-war voices are being either fired or they're resigning right now. That's what's going on. And the message has been sent loud and clear that if you try to become a voice of reason or a voice against war, now if you're a big heavy hitter, like a Witkoff, then you can speak out against wars and try to negotiate peace and you'll be okay. But if you're an aide or a staffer and, you know, maybe you're trying to help somebody out make a decision or bring some news to the team that they haven't seen or bring some perspective to the team that they haven't seen, you're gone. And you're either resigning or you're getting investigated. Either way, you're gone. No, there will be no anti-war voices in D.C. There will be no anti-war voices getting access to this administration. That's the message. And now, they don't even want to hear about Doge. That's like the Epstein list, but behind the scenes. Stop talking about Doge. They don't even want to hear about it. They don't want to know about it. They don't want to see it. They don't want any more cuts. And then the Doge team is like, okay, fine, we're out. We're done. Don't want us here. We're gone. Same with all these Pentagon staffers. You don't want us here? Fine, we're gone. But, you know, I mean, President Trump wants to change the name of the Washington Commanders to the Washington Redskins, guys, so everything's fine. Everything's great. We're going to get the Washington Redskins. Another blackmail operation, by the way. Because the land that they want to build the new stadium on is federal land. So Trump is saying, I'm not going to let you build the stadium unless you change the name. It's just a joke. And look, rename them the Redskins. I completely agree. The whole thing is a joke. And if you're the Washington Commanders ownership team, you're like, okay, we just drafted this young quarterback. He's going to be a star for probably a decade or more. So yeah, now's the time. We just struck gold. Build the new stadium. Let's do it. And Trump was like, okay, we're all in, but actually, we're going to need you to name him the Washington Redskins. I need a win right now. I need a win really badly. So go ahead. We're going to call them the Redskins, or I'm not going to let you get that land, actually. Not going to let you get that land. But see, this is what it all comes down to. This is what it all comes down to right here. Marjorie Taylor Greene, this morning. If you tell the base of people who support you of deep state treasonous crimes, election interference, blackmail, and rich, powerful, elite, evil cabals, then you must take down every enemy of the people. If not, the base will turn and there's no going back. Dangling bits of red meat no longer satisfies. They want the whole steak dinner and will accept nothing else. Marjorie Taylor Greene gets it. That's one way to put it. Representative Andy Ogles, jail Obama, jail Hillary, jail Fauci, jail Mayorkas. Yeah, that's the only answer to this riddle, folks. That's it. There are no other answers. And I wouldn't bet on any of it happening. That's a bet I'd love to lose. But I don't make losing bets. Not very often. So what are we going to get now? This drawn out anticipation 2.0, tick-tock, tick-tock, grab the popcorn, the arrests are coming. How can you expect me to carry water for that after you failed to deliver the first time? There is no carrying water anymore. There are no excuses anymore. There's only excuse makers, and there's only deliverables. That's it. There is no in-between. But hey, don't worry, Mark Levin, the never Trumper, he's going to get all the promotion. And don't worry, Sean Hannity, the guy that strung you along for 4 years in the first administration, tick-tock, tick-tock, arrests are coming, he'll get the exclusive interview. And then there's this. Now, remember, I reported on this probably about 2 or 3 months ago when I started getting invitations, and then I heard about other people getting invitations. Now it's everybody's reporting it. Mainstream news. MAGA going to Israel for propaganda training. The Israeli government is paying to have 16 MAGA social media influencers with millions of followers brought to Israel to learn how to stop American youth from turning against Tel Aviv over Gaza. Now, this is just one of the many efforts, but they've brought hundreds. It's all funded. It's like, you know, nothing is free, right? Oh, I'm getting a free trip to Israel. Sure you are. Yeah, that's what it is. Totally free trip just because everything's so great. Now, this isn't their only operation, but it's one of them. Now more people are going public because it used to be you just got offered the trip. You took it. You didn't really think much of it. Now people are getting offered the trip and rejecting it because they think it'll be a blithe on their public record. But it's just like why you go to a Turning Point USA event, just like the one that was in Tampa Bay a week ago, And the first booth when you walk in is the Israel booth promoting sending Americans, conservatives, to Israel. First booth. And then they arrested the guy who was at the booth, who was a VIP pass, whatever. And they arrested him because he was having a political conversation about two other guys about Israel. And they arrested him and kicked him out. So it's not good. Now, then you had a situation, and I do believe Trump went on these guys' podcasts at least once. And these guys are pretty popular. They got to be probably a million followers on YouTube, I would guess. And that's the Nelk Boys, or the Full Send podcast. And mostly, I don't know too much about them. So if anybody in the crew, if I'm wrong about this, but I think, don't they do like kind of pranks and like gimmicky stuff on YouTube normally? I think is what I see at least. I don't know. I don't think they're really known for political commentary, but they did score an interview with Trump. And I guess everybody does a little bit of politics in the age of Trump now, as it's just bleeding into the culture. But they're mostly kind of just like hijinks and pranks and, you know, funny times. But very big on YouTube. Now, they score an interview with Netanyahu. Now, for what it's worth, if you can see, they have their access with Trump here on the screen. When they were doing their Trump tour with Trump, none of them were wearing suits and ties. None of them. They were wearing their products and T-shirts. Oh, but they get the interview with Netanyahu. All of a sudden, they found a suit and tie, guys. All of a sudden, they got the suit and tie. It's funny how that works. Now, again, I don't know too much about these guys, so who knows how informed they are as far as the public sentiment towards Israel or Netanyahu currently is before they line this up, or it was probably lined up for them, and they just said, yeah, of course we'll do it. We'll take the opportunity. Not really realizing what was going on. But so... And really, if there's like a test to see if guys are really real or not, this I'd say they passed the test because they have Netanyahu on. People are giving him a hard time. They didn't know what questions to ask, and they didn't understand the things. They're not political guys. They're fun guys. They're hijinks guys that may have political opinions is how I look at it. So I don't hold it against them for not knowing all the ins and outs of the history of Israel and Palestine and the Gaza Strip and everything else. Somebody brought this to them. They said, sure, we'll take it. Well, then afterwards, the backlash was so bad. And they were obviously reading the comments on YouTube, reading the comments on X about over this interview. It's like 95% negative. Half the people that are, I guess, their audience, their followers are saying, never watching again, never buying any products again. Just for the interview with Netanyahu. So they saw this. And then they were reading some of the comments afterwards. And so listen to this now, because there's no going back. All right, so you did the interview with Netanyahu. You probably got set up for that. You probably weren't aware of the negative backlash you were going to get. You just thought, okay, whatever, this guy's a big deal. We'll do the interview. Cool. Why wouldn't we? And then they kind of just let him ramble off the Israeli propaganda because that's what he's there to do. Whoever lined it up, it's what he was there to do. Folks, why would Netanyahu go on this podcast, which is targeted to young Americans and does prank videos? Because Netanyahu knows Israel is losing the American youth at an astronomical rate. So they try to bring him onto this podcast and make him look cool, like he's with the Nelk Boys. And then he just slangs all the propaganda, hoping, oh, the American youth will buy this. They'll like Netanyahu now. Total failure. But that's why Netanyahu had this thing arranged. Why would Netanyahu, whose country is in a 5-front war right now, 5-front war, bombing multiple countries, massive operation underway in the Gaza Strip. Why would he be doing these podcasts? Because he knows without America, Israel is going to be in a, well, I don't know. In his eyes, it's not going to be in a good state of affairs. I'd like to think Israel can stand on its own, and that's what Israel should have to do. But Netanyahu would rather keep the gravy train going. So he's coming here to try to win back the American youth. Well, so the Nelk boys see all the negativity, and they're probably just like, whoa. Whoa, what the hell? So then they were reading these comments, trying to do their own damage control after this interview. So they're reading these comments like this in clip 14.
Good, it's a good point. Someone said having Netanyahu on is like having modern-day Hitler.
No, I saw that.
Which is, honestly, guys, I'll be honest. I'm here to... It's a good point. I we're here to fucking learn, to be honest, guys.
So, obviously, they had no idea the backlash they were about to get. And again, I'm not even sitting here in judgment of them because I don't really see them doing big political stands or statements or shows. Like, that's not what I see. I don't know them as political guys. I know them as popular YouTubers that do pranks and hijinks and have fun. So they got set up. Somebody set this up for them, and they just said, yeah, of course we'll do it. Why wouldn't we? We'll take the shot. And then they saw all the backlash, and now they're doing damage control, and they're like, oh, we didn't realize we were interviewing Hitler. So, I mean, to me, you know, that's, again, I don't judge somebody that doesn't claim to be a political guy and then maybe makes a political mistake. But, okay, maybe you recognize the mistake and you see that your audience doesn't like what you've done, so you immediately address it. And you immediately address it, and they're like, yeah, that's modern-day Hitler. And he's like, okay, well, maybe it is modern-day Hitler. So whether it's self-preservation or they're effing learning, like he says, it just shows a total failed propaganda attempt by Netanyahu trying to win over America's youth. Total failure. It's the only reason why he's doing it. And there's no going back from this. There's no going back from this now. What Israel's done in the Gaza Strip is never going to be wiped out of our memory banks. And how this administration has gone sideways from the America First agenda into the Israel First agenda is not going to go unnoticed or unreported. And even on the fun YouTube shows like that with millions of followers that do pranks and hijinks and giveaways, even their audience is saying, how dare you put Netanyahu on this channel? I'm never watching again. And they immediately have to come out and say, we're sorry, we didn't know he was Hitler.
Just got in my methylene blue, ultra methylene blue USP grade from thealexjonesstore.com. And I've heard all the rants and raves about this. I'm really interested to see how I'm going to feel. I'm going to do a third dropper and then some water right now. And I am going to see, yeah, that's plenty. Maybe that's a little bit more. I'm going to mix this up. And pretty excited to see how this is going to work. So after I fully drink this, I will let everybody know the effects of, hopefully, of what is the unlimited power.
What's going on, Xers? Jay Rocket here. Just giving y'all an update. It's been an hour past doing the one dropper of the ultramethylene blue USB grade at the alexjonesstore.com. Currently at the gym right now. And it's hard to explain what I feel other than I do feel the mental clarity. I don't have any cloudy thoughts. My focus seems relaxed, but very on point. And the energy kind of feels clean. No jittery, things like that. I haven't really felt any tingling or anything. Maybe if I'll even probably take a, you know, an extra dropper next time. This is on an empty stomach as well. So definitely feel just cool, calm, and collected, but very focused, very centralized. It's a very calm zen feeling. So if you haven't gotten to try this stuff yet, you'll need to go to thealexjonesstore.com and get your methylene blue today.
Piercing through the globalist agenda, welcome Owen Schroyer.
second hour here of the InfoWars War Room. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, you can support us by shopping at thealexjonesstore.com. And let me tell you what we have going on this week. We have a sale happening this week. The buy one, get one bombshell sale. 25% off everything extended one more day. That was supposed to end yesterday. We've extended that one more day. Buy one, get one free methylene blue tincture. Buy one, get one free Shilajit gummies. Buy one, get one free sea moss gummies. That's the bombshell sale happening this week. Unleash your inner warrior with the buy one, get one bombshell sale at thealexjonesstore.com. Happening this week only. Grab a bottle of Shilajit gummies and get another bottle free, boosting your energy and stamina like never before. Or double up on methylene blue tincture to supercharge your cognitive focus with this incredible buy one, get one deal. Don't miss out on Ultimate Sea Moss Gummies. Also buy one, get one free to support your immune system and overall wellness. Shop now at thealexjonesstore.com and fuel your fight for health while supplies last. You remember those old vitamins you used to get as a kid that were like really chalky? You guys remember that? They come in like cartoon shapes. Yeah, everybody kind of remembers the Flintstones ones. I think those are the most popular ones. And it turned out that most of those were mostly kind of good for nothing. Not loaded like this, but, you know, a lot of kids, their parents would sit out the vitamins on the counter every morning. And before you go to school, you go chomp your vitamins down. Well, this is like probably better for you and tastes better. It's not like a chalk in your mouth. The gummies. Put a couple sea moss gummies out there on the counter for your kids before they go to school, and they're going to love the taste, and it's going to be good for them. The problem is they're going to be wanting more because they taste so good. So I guess not everything is perfect, or maybe things can be too good. But if you've never tried those, and you just don't like swallowing capsules, swallowing pills, try the gummies out. The Shilajit gummies, the sea moss gummies, both buy one, get one free. I think we've got other gummy options as well. But both of those are buy one, get one free right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And remember, every purchase you make at thealexjonesstore.com qualifies for multiple entries into our raffles and giveaways. Right now, it's the Ford F-250. Powder blue. Monster truck. The only way to win is by shopping at thealexjonesstore.com. Hey, DuckDuckGo has made this announcement. If you guys want to B-roll the video they've put up. And this is just kind of an update from them, but I think there's a larger issue here. New setting from DuckDuckGo. It's a search engine that tries to compete with Google. Hide AI-generated images in DuckDuckGo. Our philosophy about AI features is private, useful, and optional. Our goal is to help you find what you're looking for. You should decide for yourself how much AI, artificial intelligence, you want in your life, or if you want any at all. And I was thinking about this, and just generally, what happens when AI reaches some critical mass and it can start pumping out news stories under a pseudonym, or like apparently is already the issue here, generating so many images in popular search trends that now you're just looking through images and you're finding AI stuff. So think about the implications of that. We saw how the former Israeli prime minister ran a digital cover-up campaign with his statement about Epstein last week. That's all that was a digital cover-up campaign so that when you search Epstein Mossad, you no longer find the stories of Epstein being connected to Mossad. Instead, you find all the stories about the Israeli former prime minister saying no connections. So see how that works? So imagine AI getting in there. Imagine what you can do when it's AI. That's like human intelligence that was running that digital cover-up campaign. Imagine when it's artificial intelligence running these campaigns. We're not having the conversations that need to be had about this.
Please remember that this broadcast is only as powerful as you make it. When you share the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X, on your email list, your text message, on other platforms, word of mouth on X, it changes the world. When you share the feed from InfoWars.com/show, it changes the world. So remember Paul Revere's You're not part of the solution. You are the solution. You're everything. When you share the live feed, when you share the clips of the show, when you send that out to everyone you know, that's the reach, the amplification. That is 99% of this operation. You are the whole shooting match. And the InfoWar is everything. And you are the mind, the bones, the guts, the blood, the will, the soul of the InfoWar. So release your will and power now. Destroy them.
Ship. Owen Schroyer is the light. This is the War Room. Watch it live right now at AmericanElection.news.
You know, since we're talking AI, let's play this other clip. I mean, I don't spend too much time thinking about it. Other than when I do think about it, I realize we're not doing near enough to address the potential issues. And it's funny because I was, and maybe AI is already reading minds. Would that surprise anybody, by the way? Would anybody be shocked if AI can somehow already read minds? What if it could train itself how to read minds? What if it could grow and evolve organically? Is anybody talking about this? We've had proof that some AI has developed survival mechanisms. But I actually was thinking about this the other day. Somebody made a post about birth rates, which I'm not a big birth rate guy, but, you know, somebody made the post about birth rates and now we're not having enough kids. And then there was another story I was reading about how skilled jobs that require training to learn are becoming, it's like they're finding less men to do some of these jobs. Like, we need more doctors. We need more engineers. It's just an example. But what happens when AI totally takes over? And this is multi-front. And of course, this is why I'm like, is AI reading my mind? And I'm reading these stories and I'm thinking about it. And then this video pops up about AI. So it's probably just the algorithm on my phone feeding me what I am consuming, or more of what I've already consumed. But what about this issue? Now, this is from Futurama, Matt Groening, who somehow has an ability to predict the future almost to a perfect degree with some of his Simpsons shows. But what happens in a future world where men are now basically conquered by artificial intelligence? So this clip kind of comes off a little funny in the beginning, and it's kind of hypothetical, but it's also a very real situation now. And to give you the context here, what happens when men no longer have a desire to be with women? Or let's say that desire has been replaced by an AI, like we just saw Grok comes out with this, you know, blonde with, you know, she's not flat. Let's put it that way. She's bouncing around. So what happens when the desire that men have to make it with women, what happens when that desire is almost completely destroyed by AI? It's an educational video from Futurama.
Ordinary human dating. It's enjoyable and it serves an important purpose. But when a human dates an artificial mate, there is no purpose, only enjoyment. And that leads to tragedy.
Neato, a Marilyn Monroe bot.
You're a real dreamboat.
Billy Everteen.
Harmless fun? Let's see what happens next.
Billy? Do you want to walk your dog?
No, thanks, Mom. I'd rather make out with my Monroe bot.
Billy, do you want to get a paper route and earn some extra cash?
No, thanks, Dad. I'd rather make out with my Monroe bot.
Billy, do you want to come over tonight? We can make out together.
Gee, Mavis, your house is across the street. That's an awfully long way to go for making out.
Did you notice what went wrong in that scene? Ordinarily, Billy would work hard to make money with his paper route. Then he'd use the money to buy dinner for Mavis, thus earning a slim chance to perform the reproductive act. But in a world where teens can date robots, why should he bother? Why should anyone bother? Let's take a look at Billy's planet a year later. Where are all the football stars? And where are the biochemists? They're trapped. Trapped in the soft, vice-like grip of robot lips. All civilization was just an effort to impress the opposite sex. And sometimes the same sex. Now, let's skip forward 80 years into the future. Where's Billy?
Farewell.
The next day, Billy's planet was destroyed by aliens. Have you guessed the name of Billy's planet? It was Earth. Don't date robots.
Brought to you by
the Space Pope.
All right, well, there it is. Don't date robots. Don't do it. Aside from the fun nature of that little clip, is that not an existential threat? It's very well studied. It's taught in pretty much any psychological course you're going to take in college. They're going to teach how specifically, it happens with both sexes, but specifically for men, part of the motivational factor to be successful, whether that's, you know, making money, material goods, superficial goods, whatever, is to attract women. And women have the same survival instincts in themselves. You know, they get called gold diggers or whatever. It's kind of a, you know, an unfair attack, even if it is reality. No, women are just drawn to resources. They want to know that their man can provide for them, protect them, provide for their offspring. Protect their offspring. And so, yeah, they like rich men. That's why they like tall men or strong men. So it's all just biological. Well, when you erase this biological process that has built civilization to this point, well, what happens? Civilization collapses. And we're really not even into that phase yet. You're still dealing with, okay, what about like stories in Japan? And I guess Japan's doing all right, but you have stories in Japan where you have young men that aren't even interested in women. They're not even interested. And they say, yeah, I just watch porn all day because I don't like women anymore. There was another story that hit the American media last week. Guys, see if you can find it. It was like 20% of men, 20% of men, modern men under the age of 30 have never even approached a woman. And I'm like, what? See, so what you have is now it's AI. We're not quite there yet, but it's, you have all of this stuff in the digital world that is destroying the normal human ritual. The normal rituals for a man or a woman are being destroyed by this digital world that exists in our pocket, a smartphone, exists on our computer, the internet. So what happens when these rituals are gone? What happens when all the things that drive civilization, that drive human biology, are replaced and replicated by AI? Civilization collapses. So whether it's about birth rates or whether it's about people learning to be a doctor or an engineer, an inventor, whatever, this is where it's going. And so I guess the people that are behind this are saying, well, who cares? We'll run the planet. We'll put everything into an AI algorithm. And so that'll be what the people want. And that's virtually every dystopic futuristic sci-fi movie. But where are the conversations about this? Where is any counter to this? Is it in the church? Is it in the media? You get a little bit of it in culture, but then those individuals end up being attacked and ridiculed, and they're called toxic masculinists, and they're called Nazis. So you've got these issues with AI nobody's talking about. What happens when AI can just rig an internet better than any intelligence community can, better than any government can? What happens when men are no longer driven to succeed? What happens when men are no longer driven to success because everything can just be right in front of them at the flick of a switch? Are we really having these conversations, or are we just going to launch into this AI world and just leave the current world behind us? Seems like that's what's happening here. And you know, I get into nostalgia not too often on the show. Sometimes I do on my X account. And I think about, because I read these stories like, oh, 20% of young men have never approached a woman. And then there was another story about teenagers and drinking. And look, I'm not endorsing teenagers drinking, but you know, I was no square in high school. I went to tons of parties, but it was like, you know, that was kind of the culture in high school. That was kind of the culture in college. And there was some story about how teenagers and college kids, it was like now the majority of current teenagers have never even been to a house party. Never even been to a house party. It's just crazy to think that the world, that's just 20 years ago. That's just 20 years ago. Imagine another 20 years. Again, I'm not up here endorsing teenage drinking and being a dumbass teenager, but it's just like there's a culture there. There's something there. There's a human element there. There's a reason why it was cool. There's a reason why it was popular. There's a reason why you wanted to sneak out of your house. There's a reason why you wanted to go to the college house party and play a drinking game. And maybe a lot of that reason has to do with finding a mate. And we've just completely destroyed all of these cultural norms. And I'll be watching old videos. Like, I'm actually working on this compilation of high school before smartphones. And I just can't imagine these kids growing up, they don't even know what life was like before a smartphone. It's like totally foreign to them. How do you even explain that? How do you even explain that we used to live in the world we were present in? How do you even explain that we used to live in the world in front of us? Not in a screen, not in a digital world. It was actually right there. We were all in it together. And you can watch like old sporting events, like go watch Stone Cold Steve Austin doing a stunner, or go watch Mark McGwire hitting a home run. And what do you see? What do you see in those 1990 videos in that moment that everybody wanted to see? What did you see? What did you see when that stunner was happening? What did you see when that home run was in liftoff? You saw all the flashing lights. Just all at once. And it was a phenomenon. It was a representation of we're all here. We're all doing the same thing. We're all in this together. We're all in the moment. You don't get that anymore. Everybody's in their own little world, no matter where you're at. You go to a ball game, everybody's in their own little world. You go to school, everyone's in their own little world. You got after school activities, whatever, everybody's in their own little world. Everybody's always in their own little world. And it's stunning. It's stunning to me to think that was only 20 years ago. And how it's so exponential. Like the world that I grew up in, and the world that my dad grew up in, we have more in common. There's more in common I have with my dad, or we have more shared life experience. We have more similar life experience, even with my grandfather, probably. I probably have more shared experience a closer experience to one another with my grandfather than likely I will even have with my own children. Because they're going to grow up in a world where you pick which world the world in front of you, it doesn't even matter if you're there or not. And I just find it stunning nobody wants to talk about this. But, you know, maybe these guys did talk about it, and it was way too fast, and so nobody really cared, nobody really thought about it, so there was no interest. So they just said, well, screw it, let's just go all in. Because nobody's really talking about it. It's like everybody sees it. Everybody sees what's going on. Everybody sees how our souls are being sucked into these machines. Everybody sees how our consciousness is somewhere else. It's not even in the real world anymore. It's like everybody can see this. We all know what's going on, and it's only going one direction. But there's no correction, of course. There's no big warnings. And it's leading to all these mental issues. Like somebody did this lecture about how social media is destroying the youth. And it's why you have all these people with depression and all of these people going to get these pills and these mental disorders. Cause it's like, yeah, well, what do? They follow these people on Instagram and they think, wow, they really do have it all. Like they never have to shit and wipe their ass. They never have any drama. They never have any sorrow. They never have any issues. Just, oh, look, they're living it all. They have it all. They have the fame. They have the fortune. They have the money, the wealth, everything. They're traveling. They're on boats. They're on everything. Why can't I have that? Well, that's just censored reality fed to you to depress you. And none of it's real. And it's like you want to find the healthiest people, they're the people that spend the least amount of time on their phones, on the internet, in nature. They don't even know what's going on. They don't even care. And actually, Musk said this the other day. He said, I was once worried about AI. Guys, see if you can find the Musk post. I believe he posted on X. He was like, you know, I was once worried about AI and what it's going to do in the future, but I was kind of all alone, so now I've just fully embraced it. It was something along those lines. I'm paraphrasing. But it seems like that's just the attitude of the big tech industries now. It's like that's the attitude of the guys doing all this AI. They're just like, well, you know, nobody really cared, so screw it. Let's just make everything AI. Let's just put everything onto the social grid, everything onto the AI grid. Everything into our algorithms, and let's bring in the digital currency. Yeah, we'll call it crypto. We'll make it packageable with Bitcoin and Genius Act and everything else, but it's all going the same way. And that's why this big, beautiful bill, folks, it was just a giant business deal. And, you know, you could make the argument and say, well, what do you want to do? What do you want to do with, throw a number out there. What do you want to do with $1 trillion? Do you want to give $1 trillion as welfare? Do you just want to throw $1 trillion like into a stimulus deal and just put it right into Americans' bank accounts because you know that's not going to do anything? Or do you want to cut $1 trillion deal and put it into processing and manufacturing? And then that'll probably benefit the economy more in the long run. But it's still just a big, beautiful business deal. That's what it is. And so, yeah, it's all the big tech manufacturing and AI systems. They're all going to get filthy rich. They got their cryptocurrency exchanges set up, ready to go. They're all going to get filthy rich. So it's just like, yeah, okay, well, you could stimulate the economy and just give $1 trillion away, or you could just stimulate the economy and cut these business deals and then have them institute some actual growth. But that's what's really going on here. And so Musk was like, well, tried to warn you about Sam Altman, but he's tight with Susie Wiles. So Elon Musk is like, yeah, I had my concerns about AI, but nobody else cared. So now I'm just embracing it. And I'm not even like a Luddite. I think technology can be used for good or bad. But I put up a poll on X and I asked, is life better or worse with smartphones? And 90% of the people said worse. So If that's the case, imagine what happens if you think smartphones are bad. Wait till you literally are a human Android. And you say, well, I'll never be a human Android. You won't have a choice. You won't have a choice. You can basically go be Amish, or you're plugging into the technocracy. And you'll have a chip. You'll probably have multiple chips. It's like, okay, imagine your life without a car. It would be a lot more difficult, wouldn't it? Okay. Imagine your life without a smartphone. Well, it'd be a lot more difficult, wouldn't it? All right. Now, 10 years. Imagine your life without being plugged into the AI. Well, it'll be a lot more difficult. So that's where it's going. And they're already building the system for you. Very lovingly. Very lovingly. Yeah, there it is right there. So what would you do? Would you go back if you could? Would you go back and destroy it? Or would you let it continue? Because it's only going to get worse. But nobody really wants to talk about it. All right. We're going to be joined by a guest coming up here to talk about some news that even the White House is addressing now. Marjorie Taylor Greene is addressing it. And it has to do with them wanting to have vaccine-like immunity for pesticide manufacturers. This is coming out of Congress. You know, all those pesticides that are causing people cancer, and then you see those ads for class action lawsuits. Yeah, they're trying to just normalize that and pass these new bills, giving them immunity. So big agriculture fighting for that. We're going to have a guest on to talk about that, as well as some other issues within MAHA, if you will, and the beef industry. She's been on before, very tuned into these issues. Brianna Sagdahl joining us shortly. The world you were raised to survive in no longer exists. Oh, boy. I was trying to move on from the nostalgia. You can't be doing this to me now. Wow. You guys remember those days? What do they call it? The good old days. Them good old days are over. Actually, what I was told was them good old days are over, white boy. Them good old days are over, white boy. All right. Those good old days were for everyone, but all right. Okay. All right. Folks, as we hit the halfway point in the show, remember to shop at thealexjonesstore.com where we have, I thought I was being gagged by the crew. I did. I thought somebody gagged me when they put this on my desk the other day. But no, you can get the shirt Free Ghislaine at thealexjonesstore.com because, of course, the Epstein thing was a hoax. So Ghislaine Maxwell is sitting in prison for trafficking minors to nobody. So Free Ghislaine. You know, we're all about freeing the innocently imprisoned. So Free Ghislaine. Get your Free Ghislaine t-shirt and much more at thealexjonesstore.com. There's a reason why supplements are so big and so popular and have such a great result. It's because whether it's your diet, whether it's your exercise routine, the point is you're lacking in some very important vitamins, very important minerals that can make you healthier, live longer, and feel better.
We're also under constant attack, Owen, and that's what's very important. So the modern human living experience, the environment that we subject ourselves to, it's the equivalent of smoking like a couple packs of cigarettes every single day. Like that's the bad food that we eat, that's the poison in the water, XYZ.
So it's kind of like what happens is, Rex Jones in studio with me, we're about to make a very exciting new product announcement here. So what ends up happening is, whether it's the modern day diet, or whether it's the modern day atmosphere, or whether it's, you know, a sedative state, you're not getting whatever it is you need to make your body function at its highest capabilities.
Absolutely correct. And that's why we created these two new formulas that are now live at thealexjonesstore.com. So we've got Methyl Drive here, and we've also got Power Plant. Now, both of them, at their core, they do around the same type of thing. It's increasing fuel for you to create new mitochondria. It's increasing mitochondrial efficiency. It's reducing oxidative stress and XYZ, other things like that. Now, I want to single out Power Plant really quick. If you're a guy and you're looking for a boost, a healthy, sustainable testosterone boost, we made Power Plant specifically for someone that wants to increase their free testosterone.
I remember when I was looking into supplements and stuff and different things, like, you know, people don't get enough boron. They don't even know what boron is. And I remember one thing that always stuck in my head, and that's, you know, it's just true. Well, what does boron kind of rhyme with, folks? I'll just leave it at that. You know what I mean?
We've got bits and pieces of a system here that comes together and provides you just the antioxidant support you need, the testosterone support you need, the mitochondrial health support you need. It's all there. It's all together. It's in both of these products. You could take both of these at the same time and experience a heck of a lot of benefits. Now, I would say younger, older. You're an older person. You need more overall body support. You need the overall antioxidant support. I would go with the methyl drive. But if you're a younger person or someone looking for a performance boost, I would go with the Power Plant.
I can enhance what I'm doing here maybe like tenfold with the right supplement routine.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that statement. Look, the reason why this is called Power Plant is because it has cordyceps in it. Now, of course, the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell and all of that, but cordyceps is like an elite top tier S tier ingredient, which increases the amount of ATP you make, which indirectly helps you make more mitochondria. But beyond that, increases your oxygen carrying capacity. So you want to talk about workouts. You want to talk about power. You talk about strength. Talk about Power Plant.
And that's what you need, especially when you're doing a heavy lift and you need to have good breathing, or you're doing long form cardio and you need to have strong breathing. That's where this is going to come into play. And when you started to talk about the new product that we just came out with the PQQ and the CoQ10.
Yes, the methyl drive.
Folks, I'm telling you, it's like, if I had to do a list of like, okay, if someone said you can pick five things that you're going to get in a supplement, like what are the most important things? Guarantee you, you asked me 100 times, PQQ and CoQ10 are on that list for me 100 times.
Vitamin B12, as-methylcobalamin, the good kind. Magnesium, coenzyme Q10, CoQ10, PQQ, black pepper for absorption. You can't ask for a better catch-all, really. And the synergy that both of these products have with the Methylene Blue is unparalleled. You will not find a better product on the market that's targeted in that specific way, because we made these for you, the customer, and for ourselves, because we believe in the product. We take the product.
TheAlexJonesStore.com to get these new products. Try them for yourself. I know they're going to become a staple. I see Rex working out here every once in a while. We've worked out in the gym every once in a while. And, you know, he's really excited about this stuff. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
This broadcast contains subject matter that may offend liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at band.video.
Brianna Sagdahl is joining me now. Welcoming back to the show at Brianna9 on X. DoorToFreedom.org. She's very tied into the agricultural community, specifically when it comes to the beef industry, and we may get into some news on that. But her big story right now: Congress introduces vaccine-like immunity for pesticide manufacturers. Section 453 of the Federal House Interior Appropriations Bill has total pesticide immunity language included in it. If passed, the EPA would effectively be frozen in time and prevented from reviewing and doing its job as it relates to pesticides, herbicides, etc. You can find this and more information on her X account, which you can see on the screen there. Brianna, let me introduce it like this to you. And then you can kind of get into whether you want to comment on this angle of it or just get into the bill. I'll leave up to you. But I'm somebody that kind of comes from more of the health angle here. We've known for years about these pesticides causing cancer. It's been such a big story that they've had to settle class action lawsuits, some of the biggest ever in the agriculture community. it's well known even that if you live next to a golf course, your odds of getting cancer are actually significantly increased because of all the pesticides and stuff that they use just on a golf course. So there's a pretty well studied history of pesticides, carcinogens, and health problems. So is that what this is about? It's because they know it, and so they're trying to get congressional immunity?
Thank you so much for having me on, Owen. And I would imagine they do know it. In fact, court documents seem to show that Monsanto Bayer, Monsanto before Bayer acquired it, knew that their glyphosate product was linked to cancers such as non-Hodgkin's lymphoma going back to the 1980s. So I would imagine, yes, this is absolutely a path towards creating a new product, class of products, really very similar to vaccines, where the manufacturers are exempt from legal liability. It started at the state level, and it certainly looks as though the German or foreign-owned agrochemical giant, Monsanto Bayer, has something of a six-pronged strategy. And this is part of the federal reveal, or the federal level is being revealed at this point, which was, of course, found in this appropriations bill.
Now, I don't know how much stink there is right now in Congress. You're one of the people that lobbies for the good guys on these issues. I know that Marjorie Taylor Greene is aware of this. She's not going to be voting for this bill. What's the noise like on the Hill right now?
That's a really good question. You know, it's becoming something of a political powder keg going into the midterms. What's interesting is 2 days after the House Subcommittee on the Interior, Environment, and Related Agencies voted to pass through the fiscal year 26 appropriations bill with this immunity rider, Senator Cory Booker introduced, which is called the, or dropped a bill, called the Pesticide Injury Accountability Act. So what I can definitively say is that Democrats appear primed and ready to run with this issue if Republicans are not willing to fight for the MAHA alliance within MAGA.
You know, that's an interesting development. And I think, I don't even, you can tell me. I don't think the Democrats are an issue-based party necessarily, specifically on this, for this conversation. I don't think this is an issue for them. I think it's just anything that comes to the floor in the Trump administration, unless it's directly from a Democrat hand, they're going to vote against it. So, you know, maybe now they feel like, oh, if this gives us a political win, then we can go all in for it. They're probably going to wait and see what the Republicans want to do. But this should be, where is MAHA? I'm not hearing anything from MAHA on this. I'm not, you know, people kind of have this idea where the leader or the figurehead has to know everything that's going on and comment on everything, and that's quite difficult. So, you know, RFK Jr. may or may not even be aware of this yet, but I'd imagine if it's something that he becomes aware of, he'll stand up against it. But again, are you hearing anything about this?
Not publicly, certainly. There are some rumors going on in the back channels, of course. But, you know, ultimately, this comes down to Congress. I mean, RFK, Brooke Rollins, the president himself, they're all part of the executive branch. So this really comes down to congressional Republicans fighting for the America First agenda and whether or not they're willing to fight for the president's agenda going into the midterms. And I'll tell you, you know, it's been a very interesting ride watching Congress act over the last few weeks, that's for sure. And, you know, Owen, I think what's most important here, though, is to really look at the overview of how this bill operates, because you know, you were talking about AI and, you know, this whole idea. We've discussed kind of this concept of regulations and how certain industries are selected and protected from regulations. This bill would effectively neuter the EPA and prevent it from using funds to issue new guidance, to regulate, to act on any type of new emerging scientific evidence that proves glyphosate or any other product. For example, Syngenta Group is owned by the CCP. They make Diquat, sold as Paraquat, which is quickly taking the place of glyphosate in rural America. So any product that has been reviewed, right, it would be at least that another 15 years, for example, before the EPA could expend funds to review a product again and issue new guidance on it based on that scientific evidence.
Well, I'm somebody, you know, shut down the EPA, right? So, okay, so if we're small government people, where does this just fall on Congress then to say we need to do independent studies, or the manufacturers of these products, they need to present independent studies? Where does this lie if it's not with the EPA?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And I think honestly, one of the biggest issues is the fact that these manufacturers are allowed to present their own safety data, and it's done on this quote-unquote.
So it's not even third party, it just comes from themselves.
Correct, right.
Like Mike Tyson, hey, I don't have a right hook, don't worry about my right hook, y'all.
Right. Well, and I think, you know, that is potentially one of the issues here, is that not only do we have lobbyists that are directly appointed to oversee the policies of these federal regulatory agencies, but then the manufacturers themselves are able to present the empirical evidence on how safe their products really are. Look, if we're going to prevent the EPA from doing its job by pulling funds, then I would say, you know, at least decentralize that body of authority back to the states. The problem is that when we have a federal law that's been enacted by Congress, federal laws preempt state rights due to the supremacy clause of the Constitution, which there's been some case precedents essentially that has extended that to administrative agencies and the rules that they make. So if, for example, Congress were to pass this, it would effectively stop any failure to warn claims moving forward at the state level, because the states would not have the ability to warn, to label, to issue guidance, right, outside what the EPA has determined. And, for example, glyphosate was last reviewed in 2020. So, and that review came back showing no risk of human health concern. So if this bill were to pass as currently written, it would freeze that finding of no risk of human health concern for at least the next decade, preventing the EPA from issuing any type of new regulatory guidance or labeling, or even a warning label that says, hey, look, we have new scientific evidence and juries have found that this product may potentially lead to cancer. And frankly, you know, that's really unacceptable. This is not an America First agenda, Owen.
Well, they do now put that on some of the glyphosate products, though, right? Don't they have those warnings on some of the product labels now?
Well, so that's interesting you bring that up. There, California, for example, passed Proposition 65, if I'm not mistaken. And so there is some inconsistencies there, and certainly Monsanto Bayer has tried to exploit that within the court system and has asked the Supreme Court, which is also one part of their six-pronged strategy, to intervene and to effectively consolidate these rulings on their behalf, naturally.
Well, yeah, and, you know, people always make the comparison with the demonization of cigarettes, and, you know, you can't put a cigarette ad on TV. They have to have all the warning labels on the cigarettes, and yet you have other products that have been known to lead to cancer too, and they don't get that same treatment. And so you have to ask yourself why. And it does come down to the lobbyists. And so here's kind of what I've noticed just in this administration, and I have a feeling this is going to go the same way. You know, they come out and they talk about mass deportations. The big agriculture, big farming communities say, hey, we're going to lose 20% of our workforce. We're going to lose 20% of our capabilities to put food into the grocery store. So they say, well, okay, I guess we have to make an exception for this. People were noticing, You know, RFK Jr. says we're taking these toxic food dyes out of children's food products. They're carcinogenic. So people said, well, if we knew they were carcinogenic, then why didn't we have warning labels on the food box? Like, why wouldn't they have that warning label just like a cigarette has to have on it? So that's, again, it comes down to the lobbyists. But it also sounds like there's this, I don't know if fear is the right word or hesitation, where it's like, hey, look, if these people knew the truth about their environment, if these people knew the truth about the world that they lived in, it'd cause a panic. We can't put this product may cause cancer on a box of cereal. We can't put this product may cause cancer on an agricultural product to get the most yield out of a product. But at the end of the day, that's the truth. So do you think that's kind of the lobbying wedge right now, is to say, hey, look, if you demonize these products, people are going to be afraid. Farmers are going to have all this legalese to go through, and it's going to hurt the production.
No, not at all. There's not a world in which farmers are going to stop using herbicides, insecticides, fungicides, or rodenticides for that matter, right? The only difference here is that this type of legislation prevents our ability to seek remedies through the court. So it's not a matter of just having a warning label. I mean, sure, on the surface, that seems to be what this law is about. But the nuances of the law are actually very specific to failure to warn and when states, essentially an individual's constitutional rights are preempted, by federal law. And so what it ultimately comes down to is the ability to seek remedy in the court. Sorry, I live on a farm. It's a mess here. There's flies. So the problem here is that there's no reason why we should be giving foreign-owned agrochemical giants the liability immunity from the liability immunity from the American people. It just doesn't make any sense, right? That's certainly not an America First position.
Harriet?
Or a Make America Healthy Again position. Hey, guys, we got a little interference here. Guys, hold on a second. Wait, it's all right. I warned you we were short-staffed today. Guys, did we lose our guest? We may have just lost our guest. There's short-staffed up here. We got basically two guys doing work for five guys. Brianna, are you back? We're sorry about that.
I'm here. Thank you so much.
It's one of the cases where we don't have enough chefs in the kitchen. You know, sometimes you have too many chefs in the kitchen. Right now, we don't have enough chefs in the kitchen. So one of them needs to grow a third arm. Maybe if he drinks some glyphosate, we can develop a third arm crew member and get this deal done. Okay. I'm sorry. Got a little distracted by that. All right, so bottom line, and then I'll kind of ask you my final questions here. Bottom line is they want immunity so that what? When their pesticides cause these health problems, there's no remedy for the individual.
That's correct. That's essentially the strategy here, is to prevent the individual from suing at the state level and exercising their constitutional right to due process and remedy through the court system by effectively implementing administrative law or using administrative law to preempt constitutional rights.
Okay, now, on same general issue, but I'm curious how this applies to, you know, they've done all these different tricks to get around the organic labels, right? And so there's different things. There's USDA organic, and then there's private things like Project Non-GMO. And these major industries or the companies within them, they try to find all different loopholes to get around that and say, oh, no, it is still organic, when it really you wouldn't consider it organic, but they just find these different ways of an end around to still get the organic label put on there, so that the people that only buy organic still buy their product. Is this something that you could see leading to something similar, where you're like, hey, I don't want to have X pesticide on my apples that I buy, or, you know, I don't want to get this pesticide in my organic products, but then they just find another way where you're still getting these pesticide laden products, and they just get an end around and they still get to label it organic?
I think that's an interesting position. You know, the laws that govern organic pesticides are a little bit different. I think honestly where this is heading is something closer to, USDA crop insurance, for example, mandating some type of pesticide use or herbicide use, in order to receive payouts for crop failure, for example. I think that if the pesticide manufacturers were to receive this type of immunity, they would push into more areas of the law so that their product is both mandatory, being shielded from liability, obviously, and then also, you know, essentially classifying everything, every other type of chemical as a pesticide, insecticide, fungicide, or rodenticide in order to bypass the review process and the legal immunity, essentially. I think we'll see something akin to what we have seen with the vaccine manufacturers.
Well, that's your big warning here. And again, people can learn more about this, or if you want to call your local representative to try to stop this. I feel like if the Democrats just decide they just want to stand in the way of anything, then it should be pretty easy to get a couple Republicans on board to stop this. You know, that you'd think that'd be pretty easy. And then I guess really the bulk of the Republicans in Congress are going to do whatever Trump tells them. So if Trump's friends in the agriculture industry say, hey, you know, we need this bill, then Trump will probably make a statement saying pass it. So then you're just going to need to find, I think the number might be 5 or 6 Republicans to block this thing. I think you'd be able to do it. I do. But I could see that going in that direction. All right. Quickly, though, I want to change topics to beef here. This was a story on CNN this morning. Beef prices are the new egg prices. They're soaring. Well, they're claiming beef prices are soaring. Of course, they're using this to attack Trump. Is this really happening? I haven't noticed them soaring. It seems like they've been beef has remained expensive for about 5 years now. But is there something to this?
I don't think there's anything to it other than the fact that the Big Four packers and then, of course, the Livestock Feeders Association is placing immense pressure on both the Trump administration and Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins to reopen the border. So we have New World Screwworm that has made its way up the migrant caravan route after the biological barrier was breached in 2022. New World Screwworm is a flesh-eating parasite that burrows into the teeny tiniest of scratches in any type of warm-blooded animal, be it a human being, livestock, or wildlife. And it has effectively breached that biological barrier because there were millions of new hosts. The last time that we had to battle New World Screwworm within our own borders, it cost millions, if not billions of dollars. And this time the U.S. Department of Agriculture knows that if we were to battle this at our border again, it would be economically devastating for farmers, ranchers, and the economy of southern border states. So we have to push this back down south. And indeed, there has been a ton of pressure on Secretary Rollins from across the cattle industry to keep that border closed to live imports. However, there is a small sector that is very powerful and very wealthy that is lobbying to open that border back up because this is where JBS, for example, or Tyson, right, they bring in their cheap imports from south of the border, and this is how they have been effectively making beef so expensive over the last 5 years because they are bypassing U.S. farmers and ranchers with cheap grind from countries that do not share.
And bypassing the quality and all the different That's regulations right. as well.
That's right. Absolutely. So I think that this is just another media push to get her to open up that border. And I would implore the Trump administration to ignore it.
Are they trying to vaccinate us through the beef?
Well, I'm glad to say that there's currently not an mRNA vaccine in our beef supply. That isn't to say that there are not some in the pipeline, but we are not currently vaccinating cattle with mRNA type of vaccines. The hog industry is a different story, and I'd love to talk to you about that another time. But currently the vaccines that we use in the cattle industry do not pass through meat. So cows are still safe, and our beef supply, especially grown locally and by U.S. ranchers, is the healthiest in the world.
Well, you know, we have a pretty good local chain grocery store here. Everything comes from Texas. So we're lucky with that. I still go to the farmer's market and like to get, you know, raw beef and stuff like that. You can just tell the difference. But hold on a second. Are you telling me that they're vaccinating the hogs?
They are, yes. So there is this Quivity platform that is widely used in the hog industry. And I think we should definitely have a conversation about that sometime, because it is quite concerning. And so are the reports that we're hearing on the ground as producers in terms of anaphylaxis and, you know, sometimes upwards of 30% herd loss after vaccination.
Mm. Well, as if I needed another reason to not eat pork. I quit eating pork some years ago when I started to get into the whole parasite deal and parasite cleansing. So I rarely eat much pork since the turn of 2020. Another reason not to eat it, I suppose. They're vaccinating us through the pork. So that nice crispy, greasy bacon has a little extra surprise in it. Brianna, thank you so much for your time today. Where can people follow you and keep up with this bill that we're trying to stop?
Thank you so much for asking, Owen. Yeah, people can find me on X at Brianna9. Most importantly, I would love for people to go on and check out doortofreedom.org. There's an FAQ policy brief that I've written myself. Thank you very much. On FIFRA, which is the body that governs this area of law. So if you have any questions about how federal law preempts states' rights, check out that FAQ. I would also direct people to Dr. Meryl Nass's Substack. She has such a wealth of information, and she has not only outlined the 6-prong attack by Monsanto Bayer, but also the corresponding court cases and what they're up to. Lastly, Stand for Health Freedom is a wonderful organization, and they have organized an email campaign. So you can go on there and you can, it's much easier to contact the members of this committee and ask them to please vote America First.
All right, there you have it. Thank you so much for your time, trying to keep the audience up to date on all things, as much as we can, all things Make America Healthy Again. And so that's definitely one big issue. Because there's no doubt, folks, they started hitting you with the glyphosates, these pesticides, cancer rates shot right up. It's well, very well done. Very well done. All right, hour number two already in the books. Wow, we enter hour number three coming up next.
Fox News alert, the Ayatollah's gone into hiding. He's believed to be holed up inside an underground bunker northeast of the Capitol. Iranian proxies, which have been severely degraded, are threatening to commit acts of terror against American troops and American ships in the region.
And sources are telling ABC News that President Trump has approved the attack plans for Iran that were presented to him.
And American businesses are now bracing for cyber attacks. The whole world's watching.
In light of that news, I have a message directly from the president, and I quote, "Based on the fact that there's a substantial chance of negotiations that may or may not take place with Iran in the near future, I will make my decision whether or not to go within the next 2 weeks." That's a quote directly from the president for all of you today.
What's your take on that? Because people say, well, that's just the press secretary. No, that's Trump talking. Now it looks like he's given himself more breathing room, 2 weeks, when we were coming down to the deadline. And the last deadline passed, obviously, and within 24 hours, Israel struck.
What Trump is saying, I believe, in that message is, I don't want to embroil America in a war for the next decade plus.
And that's what he's been saying in the last 48 hours, or really 24, is, I only want to do this if it doesn't turn into a long war. Now he's learning it will. And so sanity is prevailing. Wow, that's so important. People need to call and get a free consultation or go sign on the email You guys are the best. You have the best prices selling it at wholesale. That's why you're top rated. Most other places are a scam. It's just true. Gold and silver is great, but not the way people sell numismatics and collectibles. It's a scam, folks. It goes from bad to worse. You're the place to go to. You can also roll over financial instruments. It's so easy, but people need to go to KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3900. And folks really need to take action now. The best investment there is. All I'm going to do is steer you right, folks, because I treat you like I want to be treated on the supplements, on the products, on the sponsors, only the best. And that's Kirk Elliott Precious Metals, KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3900. Call now for your free consultation.
The American way of life is under attack. This is the War Room.
Folks, don't forget, you can get this limited edition, one-of-a-kind Alex Jones signature daggers right now at thealexjonesstore.com. So when the government comes and mandates that vaccine into your wrist, you know, you're going to need to have a tool to go ahead and pry that sucker out. You know, so why not do it with the Alex Jones knife? It seems fitting. All right, I'm kidding. We're not promoting self-harm, and let's hope we never have to deal with that. Just a joke. Everybody relax. Very fine dagger, high quality, comes with the Alex Jones signature on it, exclusively limited edition at the alexjonesstore.com. Caroline Leavitt was just addressing the media about the FBI flagging Trump's name in the Epstein files. Let's see how that went in clip 22.
There are reports that President Trump or the FBI agents going through the Epstein files were told to flag President Trump's name if it came up. Is that something the president was aware of or something that he directed those agents or the Department of Justice to do?
I don't believe that's something the White House was aware of. You'd have to ask the FBI.
Nobody knows anything. You know, before you know it, folks, you're going to wake up and the Epstein files are going to hang themselves in a prison. You know, they're just going to be hanging there in a prison, and all the cameras will be gone. They'll be have a data malfunction or something. Nobody will know anything. Seems to be where this one is going. All right, just to finish this short segment off with some humor. It does seem like it's kind of going like this. Tony Stadovacci, I may be butchering this name. It's the best I could do, Tony. Well, this is how it sounds like Trump is dealing with the Epstein questions here in clip 15.
President Trump, the American people want to know about the Epstein list. Can you elaborate on that, please?
God damn it. Fuck.
Why do y'all want to censor that, huh?
Okay. Obama.
Ooh. What does that have to do with anything?
That didn't work. Joe Biden is old.
Old as fuck.
So are you. 9/11 was bad.
Yeah.
So basically, now that we can forget about that.
No, we still want to know about the list and whose names were on it. Like now.
Kamala Harris.
What about that?
Democrats are bad.
We still want to know about the list and the names on them.
Yo, when are you guys gonna realize I don't have your best interests at heart because I'm rich and you're not?
What? Oh.
There's no way he just said that. 9/11 was bad, though.
Hey, I agree with that. That was bad.
Even Democrats can agree on that. That shit was awful, right? DEI.
You're losing me.
The list doesn't exist.
No, that's not. I think our president might be lying to us.
The list... Democrats created the list.
I thought you said the list doesn't exist. No.
Fuck it. I'm going to just throw this one out there. North Korea?
No.
So 2015. Okay. All right. I'm going to go back to the drawing board with this one. The Democrats are commies. I'm going, yeah, we'll come back. I'm businessman, billionaire.
Yeah, we can't afford it.
I'm going to come back. We're going to come back with something. If you don't believe everything I say 100%, you're wrong. You are wrong, and I'm always right.
What?
Who's on the list?
I was in Home Alone 2. Was it 2?
What are you talking about?
By the way, that actually looks like it's shot in what used to be Trump International in D.C. I don't know what it is now. But that actually, that looks like Trump International D.C. when he's filming that. You know what? A lot of people, I think that resonates with a lot of people, though. I think a lot of people resonate with that. So, as you know, you have a little fun. Poke a little humor at it. All right, we're going to talk about shifty pencil neck watermelon head Adam Schiff and what the president had to say about him last week on the other side of this short break. All right, Alex wanted you. He gave you the methylene blue drink earlier. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And he wanted you to do a review.
Hey, I can feel a definite, like, an energy spike. Yeah, it feels pretty good.
What are you going to do now?
I'm going to see if it has a crash.
I've never heard of a crash.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't. But, yeah, it feels pretty good. Yeah, definitely I feel sharper.
Okay.
Yeah, I was pretty tired coming in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
well, you're running around Texas right now. You're dealing with some other issues here.
I was driving all over Texas giving speeches for True Texas Project, and I was pretty efficient in sleep. Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good.
So did he give you the drink or the capsules?
I took the drink, but I got a bottle of each, and I'm going to go and do a longer-term test. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do feel kind of amped right now. Yeah.
That's good. Well, that's probably, I don't know, that might be because you're hanging out with me. So we gotta maybe try to get a
placebo. I think it's the methylene blue.
Shadows, one man brings the light. Your host, Owen Schroyer.
So, Trump has been calling out Adam Schiff for the last week. He took it to the next level this weekend. First, he was talking about mortgage fraud. Then he shared a document and said, Adam Schiff is a thief. He should be prosecuted, just like they tried to prosecute me and everyone else. The only difference is we were totally innocent. It was all a giant hoax. And then he shares this document, an affidavit with Schiff's signature on it. And so joining me now is a lady who's been at the grassroots on the ground of this issue, Christine Bish at Bish for Congress, bishforcongress.com. All right, I'll make some funny puns in a minute with that. We'll do that. We'll have fun later. But aside from that, okay, why is Donald Trump going after Adam Schiff? Is there anything to this?
There is a lot to this. I've been following this since 2020. There's more than 300 pages of documents. And basically what it is, it's where Adam Schiff has committed mortgage fraud. I'm saying that he is a resident of the state of California, that he was duly elected either to Congress and now to the United States Senate as a representative from California, which makes his mortgage documents in the state of Maryland fraudulent. And those are felonies that carry some pretty heavy penalties.
Well, you know, this is seems to be a similar, if not the exact same story to a degree, of Letitia James and her mortgage fraud. Of course, that criminal referral is somewhere on Pam Bondi's desk, which is somewhere on, you know, in the Bermuda Triangle or something. We'll try to find it. So why now, though? If people have known about this for a while, what is the deal? Do you think there's a reason why Trump is pushing it now and we didn't hear about this? Or was this a big deal in his campaign for Senate?
It was, you know, CNN had picked it up in, October of 2024, and this story had also run in 2023 and 21. Believe it or not, it just hadn't picked up legs. Now, I know in, 24, when this came out, CNN had reported that documents had surfaced, that Adam Schiff was a resident of the state of Maryland. And my response was they didn't surface. The Tooth Fairy did not drop this stuff off. I've got a lot of time and capital into researching, making sure that all of these documents were absolutely legitimate. Every piece of paper that is included in this file, over 300 pages, is all public record. I'm just using my background, my work history, and, you know, just what I do best, and that's digging up dirt, and was able to put this entire thing together. And, you know, Trump's been in, what, 6 months now? Couldn't get it all done in the first 6 months, and I did try and get this to him in the past. I actually had given it to a couple of his opponents in the past, and people, it's a lot to understand.
Yeah, did so Steve Garvey have
it's
it?
It's easy to see. Steve, I offered it to Garvey's campaign and actually met with Steve Garvey. They said, well, you know, this issue just doesn't poll well.
Hmm.
That's what, they didn't want it. I did offer it to Eric Early in the beginning back in 2020 when he was running against Schiff, and they just weren't confident with my research. And, you know, since then we've had, Marilyn Mosby. She was convicted for mortgage fraud. Hers was amateur. And Letitia James, hers is a little bit different. This one with Adam Schiff shows a constant and consistent pattern of behavior. Now, he was caught in 2008, him and Doris Matsui with the House Ethics scam, and they were both forced to pay restitution to the state of Maryland for taking the homeowner's exemption. And then both of them turned around and refinanced again. They didn't learn their lesson.
Well, and they got promoted. They got promoted within the Democrat Party. You know, it really is an amazing thing when you watch how the Democrats operate. And that's not to say that, you know, the Republicans aren't guilty of this at times too, but the Democrats is just like a hive of villainy and criminals. You really do fail up in the Democrat Party, or it's almost like they know once you've committed a crime or done something wrong that it's like now they can blackmail you for life. It's almost like they like that. It's almost like they find people to commit mortgage fraud. This is just an example. They find someone that commits mortgage fraud that hasn't been charged and they say, hey, you work for us now.
You know, I wish I could give the Democrats that much credit on this one. They just didn't realize that it's really a crime. You can't lie on the mortgage documents. Now, we've even got Schiff on video here in Sacramento area where I'm at, Sacramento, California, where he's on there saying, I made no bones about it. I was moving my family to Maryland so they could be near me where I worked. Dude, did you even read the Constitution? You're supposed to live where you represent. So yeah. He's got some explaining to do, if you will. You know, you cannot be a resident of California, run for political office, vote in California, and then turn around in the state of Maryland and say this is your primary residence.
Was he voting too?
Oh yeah, he was voting. I've got a copy of his certified copies of his voter registration forms going back to 2000.
So wait a second. Adam Schiff was voting in California illegally when he was a primary resident of Maryland, according to his own legal documents?
Exactly. So he's got to pick and choose. Are you a resident of California or are you a resident of Maryland? There's felonies on both sides. I don't really care which one he gets burned on.
All right. Do this for my audience.
Okay.
Pretend like I'm a judge and you're trying to convince me that Adam Schiff has committed a crime.
Okay. Well, Your Honor, the facts are clear in this case. Adam Schiff was a resident of California. He was elected to office in 2000. He was reelected in 2002. Well, in 2003, he sold his house in Burbank, California, and purchased a house in Maryland. The mortgage documents clearly show that he claimed that property in Maryland as his primary residence. In Clause 6 of the contract of the deed of trust that he had signed, he agreed that he would occupy that property for 12 consecutive months as his primary residence. Yet, he continued to run for office in California. He changed his voter registration when he rented a one-bedroom, one-bath furnished apartment in Burbank to maintain the premise that he was actually a resident of California. Now, I'm going to fast forward from 2003 when all this started to RFK Jr. in New York. He was kicked off the ballot to run for president in New York because they said, the judge there said that the residence that he maintained in New York was a fraud. It was a facade. And it was strictly so he could run for office in New York. And RFK Jr. did not commit mortgage fraud. Adam Schiff did.
Well, this is what I guess.
And that's the basis of this case.
Why is Trump calling him a thief, though? Where does the thief aspect come into all of this?
The thief comes in because when you buy a house and you finance that house as your primary residence, and it's a federally backed loan, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, VA, FHA, the federal government is guaranteeing that loan. So you do get a lower interest rate. You also have the ability to claim that house. You get cheaper homeowner's insurance because it's an owner-occupied property. And you get cheaper property taxes in your state, taking the homeowner's exemption. Now, when you lie on those documents, you are robbing the American people. The federal government, it is the people. This is our money. And he was taking advantage of it for 1% interest. That's what the difference would have been on his mortgage. It would have been a little bit more. Had he claimed this as a second home, his interest rate would have been a little higher. His homeowner's insurance would have been a little bit higher. And he wouldn't have gotten that mortgage interest deduction, which, by the way, he was taking that deduction. That's what's on his federal tax returns. Those I don't have, you need subpoena power for this.
Well, Trump might just be bold enough to release those because somebody gave him, I don't know if these, I guess these affidavits are public because you said you were able to get a lot of these documents with just
all
public
of them.
Sourcing.
The ones that you are holding, they originate with me. And well, those highlights on there are ones that I did.
So Trump is now sharing your work here and
yes.
It's an affidavit signed by Adam Schiff that says on November of 2011, his principal residence is in Maryland.
Correct.
And he was serving in he was serving in Congress in the state of California at the time.
Correct.
I mean, that seems open and shut.
Yes, it is. And it was funny, in 2009, I believe it was, both he and Doris Matsui, who's a representative here in Sacramento area, they both paid restitution to the state of Maryland, paid back those property taxes that they shouldn't have taken. And then the both of them went out and refinanced their houses as primary residence again. They got away with it. Nancy Pelosi was Speaker of the House at the time, so it was easy to sweep this all under the rug, say it was just an accident, and that's where the real crime comes in. Even though ignorance of the law, it's not a defense, but we see members, elected officials get away with it, saying, well, I just didn't know everybody does it. But when they were caught, the two of them, again, went and refinanced those homes as their primary residence, showing a pattern and practice of criminal behavior.
Well, nobody is above the law, is what we're told. Nobody's above the law, so Adam Schiff shouldn't be above the law. And if you get caught committing a crime, whatever the crime may be, as small as a speeding ticket to as big as maybe money laundering, you can't tell the judge, I wasn't aware of the law. That's not going to be a defense for you, so it shouldn't be a defense for Adam Schiff. But
exactly.
Do you anticipate Adam Schiff will ever see the inside of a courtroom?
Absolutely. I truly believe that now that this is out, President Trump does not have the ability to prosecute anyone. That lays with Pam Bondi, if you're doing it at the federal level, to send it to the U.S. attorney. I'm going to wince with you, too.
I'm sorry. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. You don't have to comment on that.
No, well,
that is an automatic reaction now. I wasn't even in control of it. Very unprofessional of me.
It's cool.
It's like getting kicked. You know, it's like when the doctor hits you in the knee. It's just, I can't, it's a reflex.
I absolutely get it. But you know, a local district attorney in the state of Florida or in the state of Maryland can bring this up. And Florida, it's because the mortgage company and at least two of these loans that Adam Schiff did, the title company was Tycor Title of Florida. So whoever the attorney general is in the state of Florida or even a local district attorney, Mr. DeSantis, if you are listening, you have the ability to take this into your own hands on at least two of those mortgages. So there's a smoking gun here. We just got to pull the trigger.
Let me ask you this.
Go.
There was some weird stuff that happened on election night in California where Garvey seemingly was on his way to victory, and then it was like something crazy happened, and all of a sudden Adam Schiff was winning. Do you suspect there were any shenanigans there?
I do. There's actually a website up that we have up here in California. It's called GreatAmericanRebirth.com. And this is going back to the 2020 election where, believe it or not, there was a grand jury in Sacramento. The grand jury in Sacramento found there were serious security flaws with the election systems in Sacramento. Mm. And in their ruling, they actually said that Sacramento County, which is the seat for the state, should have Homeland Security investigate the security flaws in our elections here in Sacramento, and that there's corrections that need to be done, and it needs to be done by September 30th of 2020. Now, this is prior to the presidential election. Well, I happen to have the internal email between the IT for Sacramento, California, and our voter registrar, where they said Homeland Security couldn't get to it until after the first of the year. Now, what we do know, as a matter of fact, our current senator, along with Schiff, is Alex Padilla. And Alex Padilla, while he was Secretary of State, they were instituting the whole motor voter and switching everything over. Well, he also made a decree and said that all of our election systems in California were outdated and that every county had to get a new voting system. Well, the counties couldn't afford these multi-million dollar contracts. So Padilla was able to get the legislature, supermajority here in California, to put up a bounty. Up to 75% of the cost of a new election system would be reimbursed by the state of California to any county that got a new election system that was approved by the Secretary of State on three different points. And what's crazy about this, now we have 40 out of 53 counties in California have the Dominion voting system. So, you know, on the face of it, it seems a little slimy. So I got some friends of mine together and we started doing these public records requests. And so we were requesting copies of the voting system contracts in every county in California. We got most of them. And I think it was Fresno. I got an advertisement that they included when they dumped the contracts with their new voting systems. And this was for Dominion voting systems. And in the advertisement for Dominion says we're the only one that's approved by the Secretary of State for the reimbursement. So I started pulling more documents, and sure enough, for an 11-month period, the only system that was approved for reimbursement in the state of California for 11 months was Dominion voting systems. And this was all put into motion by Alex Padilla, one of our current senators. But then when you start looking into it, and we see that there were these security flaws. Now on greatamericanrebirth.com, we put out, 180 photos of at least 360 that we took. And, we found USB keys laying all over the registrar's office. Some of them said BIOS. We've got a picture of the Dominion server, got into the private server room, and in there we got a picture of the server, and then on the floor is a VoIP telephone, voice over IP telephone, sitting on the floor, and they're both plugged in with the data cables. Now, all of this was leaked to me before it was public, and then we were able to get access. So is there monkey business going around in California? I absolutely believe it. Now, there is a friend of mine who's running for Congress down in San Bernardino area, a man by the name of Mike Cargill. And just in this last 24 election, he said, Chris, are you watching the election results? And I said, well, yeah, of course. He says, well, are you watching mine? Well, no, sorry, man, I'm watching mine. And I actually have a post up on Twitter where you'll see for three consecutive releases, you'll see that me and Mike Cargill, we had right down to the decimal point the exact same percentage of votes. And there were two other races, and those two races were the exact same percentage down to the decimal.
Were these the ones that flipped, like, were these the seats that flipped, like, 2 months after the election happened?
No, they called all of our races that night. The ones you're talking about, I believe, were our incumbent seats, and that was Michelle Steele, Mike Garcia, and...
Yeah, there were, like, five seats we were monitoring for, like... months. It was more than a month after the election, and Republicans were in the lead on election night, and then after 2 months the Democrats flipped it, and then they called it for the Democrats. I mean, we all watched it.
Oh yeah. Well, and theirs were a little bit different because those were incumbent seats, but there's a lot of shenanigans in California voting. You know, we have election season, not election night. And, you know, back in 2020, you know, we were keeping a much better eye on it, but there were lots of stories here of people getting locked out. Actually on, greatamericanrebirth.com, you'll see where we got a picture of a full pallet of ballots. They were just sitting in the middle of a warehouse on a pallet jack, and it's marked P1. And we still, from the registrar's office, never got an explanation why this pallet of ballots was actually just sitting out. Lots of shenanigans here in California.
Yeah, well, yeah, nobody knows nothing, don't you know? Nobody knows nothing.
Yeah.
And nobody knows nothing. You know, Adam Schiff, mortgage, nobody knows nothing.
Well, and okay, so this is going to be one that, you know, I haven't talked about in a long time. But I actually filed a lawsuit against the California Secretary of State back in 2021 because, against her, because it was her job to investigate the claims that I was making about Doris Matsui, who had also claimed her residence in Maryland, and about Adam Schiff. He was included in there well, but at that time I was going after Doris. Because as residents of the state of Maryland, they shouldn't have been running in California. And it was up to the Secretary of State to run this down and see if, you know, Doris and or Adam Schiff were actually eligible.
You know, I wonder how many other Democrats you would catch. Maybe Republicans too. I just wonder how many other members of Congress have done the exact same thing. I would doubt that Schiff stands alone. I would highly doubt it. I doubt Schiff and Letitia James.
We know Doris Matsui. She also did it. She was caught at the same time, and there was one other Democrat. I don't remember his name.
Are these imprisonable offenses?
Oh, yeah. Actually, there was a sitting member of Congress. His name was Stephen Watkins. He was in Shawnee County, Oklahoma, and he was charged after being elected in 2020.
Was he a Republican?
He was a Republican.
Well, isn't that something? The Republican gets arrested and not the Democrats.
But it was a local district attorney that picked it up. And in that document dump that you have that President Trump is tweeting about in those documents that he has, I actually have the original complaint. I got it from the district attorney in Shawnee County, and included that.
So there's probably a Republican lawyer too.
Exactly. And the guy who was running against him was a Republican. But you know, it beyond Republican and Democrat, I'm finding that you know, there's some bad actors on both sides. You know, I am a Republican. I'm a conservative Republican, and I want to root for my team. But if they're doing the wrong thing, I'm going to call them out too.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying it's a pattern of selective prosecution. It would appear that remains consistent when it comes to American politics. Christine, thank you so much for your time. No time for jokes today. But maybe next time. Let's see. Maybe next time we talk, Adam Schiff. We'll have a nice new pair of bracelets that we can all celebrate.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity.
I need support. We are maxed out, and I can do so much more in offense, guaranteed beat them even faster in court. And got this other stuff going on. I'll leave it at that with the Justice Department, the good guys coming in, and the task force on weaponization, that I need funds. So I need you to go to thealexjonesstore.com, subscribe as your monthly donation for $30 a month as a VIP, and know you're doing that bare minimum of support, cancel any time. Not a very hard commitment. You just do it month to month. You charge $30. You're a VIP, and when you want a t-shirt or you want a supplement, you get it, because it'll just build up in your account. $40 to spend in the store. You spend 30, you get 40, automatic discounts on everything, special sales, special offers. I'm asking everyone to commit, who's never supported the broadcast by buying anything, to become a VIP today at thealexjonesstore.com. And then you know you're doing the monthly support. Ever have an issue, don't want to do it, cancel. One click, it's your profile. But by being a VIP, you get massive discounts, special offers, and so much more at thealexjonesstore.com. And it's a way to show your support. We need your backing. I am 100% dauntless. If anything, I get overheated because I've got so much energy and I'm so angry at these people and it bleeds off into my life. I need your backing. I'm backing you. Quite frankly, if you don't back me and my crew, what we're doing, you're nuts. And I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying you're crazy. Evil hates this transmission. We've got their number. And if you don't back the organizations fighting with everything they've got for you, because we're all in this together, well, you've rolled over. You've run up the white flag, quite frankly, and that's what this is. People ask, man, thanks for fighting. Thanks for never giving up. Wow, why does it break your spirit? It intensifies my spirit. To know we're up against pure evil and we're turning the tide and we're winning, and then to know that if we don't fight hard, they're going to win and commit humanity to a nightmare of evil? You think stuff's bad now? You ain't seen nothing yet. Thank me for fighting for my own future and yours collectively? There's not even a question of fighting these people. Look at them. They've got to be opposed. People tend to think being persecuted is, oh, you want to stay away from that? Oh, so you want to stay away from the fight? No, it's like John Paul Jones said when he got commissioned as the head of the U.S. Navy, right when he was starting, and he was writing to the Continental Congress. He said, I only want the fastest ships. I only want to be sent into the main war zones and direct action. They said, here, here's our fastest ship. Go out. He immediately goes out and engages and takes over all these British ships, 2-3 times the size. It's a ramming straight into them. Well, that's what I want to do. I only want the fastest ships. I want to go directly into action. I want to go 24 hours a day. I want reporters all over the country. I want to be 50 times stronger against the enemy. I want 50 times the audience. I want victory. You think what we've done to the enemy has been effective so far? It's nothing. I have not yet begun to fight. So support yourself. Support us. Do it. Or be conscious that you didn't fight when the time was right. You hesitated. You took this as another entertainment venue, just some other show, just more talk. This ain't talk. This is the targeting coordinates to take down the enemy. This is the Death Star plans. This is Sting, the Goblin Slayer. They hate this blade. This operation is a sword that is plunged politically, culturally, spiritually into the hearts of our enemies over and over and over again. They hate it. It's a standard of their defeat. It's a symbol of their weakness. That's what we're doing here. This is serious business. So I'm coming to you, asking you to continue to commission us in this fight. We've already delivered you more victories against the enemy than any other media operation in the world. And I'm asking you again for all of our collective futures to come to our aid now more and take your fight to the 110% level. Tell the truth. Be accurate. Stand against evil. Have courage. Until it's not even having courage, it's what you are.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Unmasking the elite's deceptions. Welcome to the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Final segment here of the InfoWars War Room. Remember, folks, we have a sale happening right now at thealexjonesstore.com. It's the buy one, get one bombshell sale. We did extend our 25% off everything at the store. That is live right now, but will be concluded at the end of the day. But now we have buy one, get one free methylene blue tincture, buy one, get one free Shilajit gummies, and buy one, get one free CMOS gummies. Happening right now. Unleash your inner warrior with the buy one, get one bombshell sale at thealexjonesstore.com, happening this week only. Grab a bottle of Shilajit gummies and get another free, boosting your energy and stamina like never before. Or double up on methylene blue tincture to supercharge your cognitive focus with this incredible buy one, get one free deal. And of course, don't miss out on the ultimate CMOS gummies. Also buy one, get one free to support your immune system and overall wellness. Shop now at thealexjonesstore.com and fuel your fight for health while supplies last. And remember, with every purchase at thealexjonesstore.com, you get multiple entries into our raffles and giveaways right now. That is the Ford F-250 Lariat Powder Blue Monster Truck. But the only way to win is by shopping at thealexjonesstore.com, and you support us in keeping us on air in the process. So we thank you for that. Okay, we had a little system malfunction. We're getting the systems rebooted here. As I said, a real short-staffed crew here today. Really big ups to the crew for keeping the show in balance despite some issues that we're having here. It's basically like two hands back there when normally there'd be five. So that just shows you what a great job the crew is normally doing. And why supporting us so we can keep this great crew is so important. So let me just do this. I have to do this live on air. Guys, where do we stand? Are we back? Are we fully booted? Do I need to read news or can I go to a video? We're still testing? Okay. So let's do this then, guys. Give yourself a minute to just get everything ready. Do we have clip 21 ready? Yes. Let's go to the great Rob Schneider here. Now, again, keep in mind, this is at a Turning Point USA event. Rob Schneider is probably mostly, I'd say, centrist independent, probably socially liberal, fiscally conservative is how people like to brand it. But this is the type of mainstream acceptance of a speech like this, even at Turning Point USA.
We've all encountered those leftists with Trump derangement syndrome. Those who think anything Trump does must be wrong. But certainly, if someone is claiming that Trump's decisions are never wrong and must be carried out exactly, isn't that just another form of Trump derangement syndrome? So, in that spirit of humility and free speech, I ask these questions. Release all the Epstein files, no matter the consequences. This is America. We'll deal with whatever happens. Now, we have to also ask ourselves something else. Why are we so obsessed with Jeffrey Epstein while 300,000 children have been trafficked in America and are still missing? Why, another question, why is America still sending arms to Ukraine? I have and will always support Israel. Israel's different because if Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran had the capability on October 7th, 2023, if they had that capability of just continuing the attack and murdering every man, woman, and child, they would have done that. Israel is a free country, and Israel is a country that we must always stand by. But until they become the 51st state or a territory, their lobbying must apply as foreign lobbyists. That's not anti-Semitic. You can support Israel completely and unabashedly, but also want AIPAC to apply as a foreign lobbying group. While I want to put Americans first, if we want to continue to have fruits and vegetables in this country, we better find a way to give Mexican workers some avenue to legally do that work, because you and I ain't going to do it. Boo that you want, but if you want fruit and vegetables, you better figure it out. And these are the people that are doing it. So while you disagree with that, I disagree with that, with you on that. America was built on the freedom to question our government, and we must ensure that we don't let that principle slide. Dissent, to disagree, and your right to speak out, to protest, to challenge authority without fear of censorship or government reprisals is essential to our liberty. We need to hear what Thomas Massie has to say always. Boo all you want. That's the beauty of this country, isn't it? I support it. I support your boo, but let's debate it and let's talk about it and let's hear what Thomas Massie always has to say. Free speech, the open marketplace of ideas. This is what made our country great. The fact that you could boo something I say and that I could disagree with you is going to always lead America to a better place than silencing each other.
Yeah, great points there from Rob Schneider, disagree or agree. And he's always remained consistent with that, by the way. And he's had similar, let's say, issues when he does some of his stand-up routine and people will boo him. He's like, hey, it's a free country, you can boo. So he's always remained consistent. Rob Schneider, gotta love it. Now, getting away from the comedians, a couple of clips from a DHS press event earlier today. Let's start with Kristi Noem talking about sanctuary cities and the governors and mayors running them here in clip three.
Do so, and now we have the situation on our hand where someone who has dedicated their lives to protecting the public is now fighting for his own. I'm calling on every single mayor and sanctuary city and sanctuary governor to change their policies and to change their tactics right now. Their job is to take an oath to protect the public, to protect families that are out there every single day trying to provide for each other and to try to live the American dream, and they want to do so safely in their own communities. How many more lives will it take? How many more people have to be hurt and victimized before we have public safety be a number one priority in some of our largest cities? When I look at what Mayor Adams has done to New York City, it breaks my heart to see the families that have suffered because of his policies. We can look across this country at other mayors. We look at Mayor Wu in Boston and what has happened there under her watch. What's happened in L.A. with the riots and the violence and the protests that have gone on because of Mayor Bass and what she has perpetuated. When you look at Mayor Johnson in Chicago and how devastating it is to live in that city and some of those poorest communities, how they suffer every single day with the violence that's in front of them, just because these individuals are protecting criminals. They're protecting criminals who go out and murder, rape, rob. They perpetuate violence on our children. They traffic them and drugs and damage this country every single day under the protection of sanctuary city and governors who put in place these policies that allow them to perpetuate these crimes with no consequences. What I would say is today, my hope is that this would wake up these individuals, and they would recognize that they can't keep letting these dangerous criminals go free. They can't continue to let these individuals be brought in for crimes they're committing against the public and then releasing them right back onto the streets with no consequences whatsoever. Fortunately for us today, our officer survived.
Yeah, well, obviously, it's the Democrats encouraging this violence on all law enforcement agents, but specifically targeting ICE right now. It's really simple, though. You have to cut the federal aid. You have to cut the federal funding to these states, and they'll knock it off. They'll be begging. They'll be asking how they can help. But the Trump administration just won't follow through with it. They'll do it to Harvard, though. They'll do it to Harvard. Somebody needs to claim these sanctuary cities are anti-Semitic. And then this administration will cut the federal funding. But until that happens, I don't think so. Tom Holman stepped up to the podium after and said this in clip two.
I'll say it again. Sanctuary cities are sanctuaries for criminals. And I'm going to work very hard with Secretary Noem to keep President Trump's promise and his commitment several weeks ago that sanctuary cities are now our priority. We're going to flood the zone. You don't want to let us into jail to arrest a bad guy in the safety and security of a jail. You want to release him into the street, which makes it unsafe for the community, makes it unsafe for the officer, makes it unsafe for the alien, because anything can happen on a street arrest. So what we're going to do, we're going to have more agents in New York City to look for that bad guy. So sanctuary cities get exactly what they don't want, more agents in the community and more agents in the work site. If we can't arrest a bad guy in the safety and security of a county jail, then we'll arrest him in the community, and we'll arrest him in a jail. And when we arrest him in the community, if he's with others that are in the country illegally, they're coming too.
All right. Well, a lot of ways to handle the Democrat criminals, you know, the ones engaged in mortgage fraud, the ones engaged in sanctuary cities. But just for whatever reason, can't do it. Just won't happen. All right, let me do a news blitz here. And we got so much news here. I want to pile drive through all of it. I do have a couple of other video clips we may or may not get to here. Brazil court defies Trump, signals no retreat on Bolsonaro. So I'm afraid this is confirming my fears, was that you just don't really have the same fear, let's say, that Trump used to instill in these people. Trump can't really throw his weight around anymore like he did in his first term, folks. And so he's tried it with Russia. It didn't work. He's tried it with Brazil. It didn't work. And we'll see the final phase of all of these tariffs, but that's a big risk. It's big risk, big reward. But if you can't really throw your weight around and have everybody respect you in the process, then now you got an issue. Now you got an issue. So Russia, Brazil have both balked when normally they would jump, which I think tells me that this ain't the first term Trump, folks. Regardless of how you feel about some of the policies, I'm just talking about the respect or fear around the world ain't what it used to be. Representative Mark Green resigns from Congress, leaving Speaker Johnson with an even narrower Republican majority in the House. It's a representative from Tennessee, so you should think it'd be easy to get another Republican in there, but you never know. You just never know. House Republicans Ana Paulina Luna refers Fed Chairman Jerome Powell to DOJ for potential perjury charges. Well, the criminal referral is sitting on Pam Bondi's desk. And we all know what happens then, don't we? U.S. Treasury Scott Bessent, U.S. Treasury Chief Scott Bessent says he needs to examine Fed's performance. Yeah. Or, you know, just shut it down. How about that? But this is all just a pressure technique over that $2.5 billion renovation project to just try to get him to cut rates. That's what's going on here. Harvard is hoping court rules Trump administration's $2.6 billion research cuts were illegal. Now that won't happen. So see, if you're Harvard and you're anti-Semitic, you're going to lose your funding. But if you're a sanctuary city for criminals, you'll still get your funding. So we got to find a way. It's like, that's the new thing. If we just point and say anti-Semitic, then the Trump administration will respond. It's like you have a real issue, like a real constitutional issue or a legal issue or something like that, then you can't really, they can barely hear you. But you say anti-Semitic, all of them perk up. Where? So to the Trump administration, Democrat sanctuary cities are anti-Semitic. Cut off the funding. That'll get it done. Just looking for solutions, just trying to get things done here. Small city residents alarmed as billionaire makes huge purchase near crucial water supply. Well, what kind of a billionaire are we talking here? China. China's richest man buying water supply of New Hampshire. Small town sparks alarm. So I thought we were putting an end to this. I thought we were stopping with the Chinese nationals and communists buying up our land. What is going on? Indian origin businessman Shankrakant Patel. Shankrakant? We'll call him Chan. Chandrakant. We'll just call him Chand. Chand Patel. And three police chiefs charged with U.S. visa fraud. Major visa fraud busted. Indian origin Shand Patel arrested for bribing cops to write fake robbery reports. Got migrants visas. Well, they busted that up. Oh, well, you've got this. I think this might have even been at the top of Drudge today. I don't know if it's still there, but I believe it was this morning. Migrants at ICE facility in Miami made to kneel to eat like dogs, according to report. So they're claiming they're here shackled and they have to like get on their knees and eat out of a bowl like dogs. Now, does anybody believe that that's actually going on? And it's kind of like when they came out, who was it that made the statement? Some Democrat moron. There's a woman. She said, they're making the illegal aliens brush their teeth next to the toilet. Well, where is your toilet located? Where do you not brush your teeth in your bathroom? I don't know. Is she talking about like people finding fecal residue on their toothbrushes because they leave them out? I don't think she was talking about that. But no, actually, that's pretty standard for any jail, any prison. It's all one unit. And you brush your teeth and you drink and wash your hands. And it's the sink is right above the toilet. It's not exactly fun, but that's jailhouse standard. But this, eating like dogs, what do they give them, a dog bowl? I mean, come on. So, but this is their source, they say. Their source tells them they're making them eat like dogs. Yeah, I don't think that's going on. I'm going to go ahead and put a big doubt, a big D for doubt on that deal. The DOJ has just charged a man for allegedly threatening to kill people on the Epstein list. Seems like that's just a nice little convenient thing for them to say, see, this is why we can't release it. See? But we all know why they really can't release it. Because it would give away all their sources and methods. And it would implicate the CIA, Mossad, and MI6. And you just can't know about how they influence your world. And you just can't know about all the pedos and everybody else. You just can't know about that, see? You're not going to get that. So, keep your shoes on at the airport and wear your Washington Redskins hat. It's going to be fun. Pressure mounts for Maxwell to be released to testify before Congress, but that'll end up being a clown show if they even end up doing it. Which, by the way, did we bring in the Speaker Johnson clip, guys, that I sent you? Speaker Johnson just spoke to the press on the Epstein bill. Rokana Thomas-Massey trying to floor a bill to release the Epstein files. Here's Speaker Johnson.
We need the administration to have the space to do what it is doing.
So no vote on this resolution.
No, no.
There you go. So we will not be bringing the bill to the floor. We will not be voting on the bill. We will not be releasing the Epstein list. And Johnson says, well, the president needs space to do business. What does that even mean? What does that have to do with the Epstein list? Don't you realize how guilty you all look? Man, they have just handled this thing so badly. They've just handled the whole thing so badly. And it makes Trump look so much guiltier than he probably is. There's no doubt him and Epstein were friends, folks. Okay? There's no secret. Go watch the dozens of different video clips. Go look at how they used to talk about one another. I don't think Trump was into anything illegal. And he has plausible deniability because he was friends with Epstein before the pedo charges. America can forgive and get over that. But not a cover-up, not being lied to, not being gaslit. What is that, Mike Johnson? So that's clearly right out of, you know, that's what the White House wants him to say. The president needs room to do business. Hold on, let me hear it one more time. What does he say exactly? Let me hear it.
We need the administration to have the space to do what it is doing.
So no vote on this resolution.
The space to do what it is doing. So what? How does the Epstein list affect that? I mean, you're now. I mean, that's basically saying, hey, Trump's on the list, so we can't release it because he can't. He'll be distracted by it. I mean, that's basically what you're saying. But see, they don't even have the list. There is no list. This thing is being shut down from Tel Aviv, and they have all the documents. And my conspiracy theory is now they're using them against Trump. And all the new little drip, drip, drip stuff that you see, that's them like, hey, we're in control now. It's like, hey, you know, we're getting regime change in Iran. You're bombing Iran. You're going to destroy Iran like you did Iraq and Afghanistan. You're going to do that. And Trump's like, no. They say, really? Okay. Check the Wall Street Journal next month. And it's Trump and Epstein, buddy, buddy, birthday note. So now it's, okay, Donald, what were you thinking about Iran again? Because we got some other stuff here. We got some other stuff here. That, to me, is what's going down. And I think the circumstantial evidence speaks for itself. So it's like, yeah, Trump is probably in distress over it all, feels bad about it all, and now knows he can't even deliver for the American people, potentially because of it. And then this was in People today. I'm telling you, folks, it's just ex-casino boss claims Trump and Epstein were once caught with underage girls on casino floor. Now, underage in this report is claiming to be under 21. So, again, it doesn't necessarily mean beyond the age of consent, but I guess there's insinuating they were there drinking illegally. Of course, Trump doesn't drink. It's all going one direction, folks. They're doing a drip, drip, drip. Who's ever in control of this stuff? It's not us. It's not the good guys. They're covering up, or they're in their own pile of not knowing what to do. No, this is all coming out of Tel Aviv. And they're just going to keep with their little drip, drip, drip. And they'll have, you know, they got sources. They got ways of getting this out through surrogates so that it doesn't trace back to them. Just like with the Iran drone mothership. They're the best. They're the best. That's how they've gotten all the influence. But that's what I think this is all building up to. It's going to build back up to Iran and intervention in Iran. And I don't think Trump wants it, but every time he tries to block it, there'll be another drip. There'll be another Trump Epstein video. There'll be another Trump Epstein letter. There'll be another Trump Epstein claim. And now, because his own base is so anti-Epstein, it's just not good, folks. That does it for today. 21-hour break. We'll see you tomorrow.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease, and what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue, and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule. It should have two hydrogens on it. And like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1. It's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue, and this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning, next-level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here, look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm 8 to 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food. Stop drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.